in the upper 30s Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Then moving on to Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 19 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 17, but with the wind chill, it makes it feel like it's 7 degrees outside. It's time now for another look at, we'll take another look at your traffic and weather at the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at traffic and weather at the bottom of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Well, we've found another scam we're going to tell off on Monday morning here on the wake-up call. Seems the FCC wants to increase one of the taxes on your phone bill to squeeze another $700 million out of you. The charge is called the Universal Service Fund. It was set up over 20 years ago to make sure all Americans can afford a phone regardless of where they live. Now, the trouble is this hike could price phone service out of reach for the elderly and poor. Does that make sense? We'll examine this issue with Pam Solo, president of the Civil Society Institute, Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
Just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Whew, it's been a it's been a crazy weekend. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy weekend. It's been a crazy, crazy weekend. I ran into a friend of mine at a store, and we were talking about how crazy things are, how awful things are for folks, and how people were getting ready to hurt and get hurt in ways they hadn't even thought about. And as I've gone through this weekend and listened to the words that are coming out of Washington, the words that are coming out from all over the world, it is as if we are being inundated almost on a minutely basis. Every minute there's some revelation about the criminal behavior of our government. It makes this nation and the people that are elected to govern this nation sound like complete, absolutely unrelenting idiots. Just think about it. We had, during Bill Clinton's tenure, elected officials consumed with Bill Clinton's zipper and what went on behind it. We had elected officials telling us that the morals of this country are at risk, that parents can't let their kids watch TV because Bill Clinton and his zipper is being talked about constantly, that we were going to H-E double toothpicks in the proverbial basket that had been handcrafted by the Democrats. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. because the same idiots who brought us Bill Clinton and his zipper have now brought us a man who will look you in the face, speak to you straight in your ear, and said, yeah, damn it, I spied on y'all and I ain't going to stop. Now what? He says, George W. Bush says, yeah, damn it, I'm going to spy on you. I've been spying on you, and I ain't going to stop spying on you. Now what? The kid with ADD, the class clown, the flunk out, that couldn't get through college without his daddy buying a $300,000 building, dude, is breaking the law in your face and saying, now what? What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? The guy that can't even say the articulate correctly the word intelligence is making decisions for our lives, and bad decisions. They are kidnapping people all over the world, taking them to be tortured elsewhere. They are an administration that says we want to be able to torture people. They are an administration that lied to you about why we went to war and thousands of people have died. They are an administration that took a surplus and turned it into the biggest deficit in the world. They are an administration that cuts food stamps, advocates for the cutting of food stamps on the backs of poor people while giving wealthy people tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of economic breaks. Oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. These are crazy times. They are spying on us, and the only thing that this administration seems capable of doing, no, doesn't seem capable. The only thing this administration is capable of doing is celebrating the one thing that allowed it to break every law in the book. Honestly, it's like this administration was the happiest. Instead of celebrating Christmas, this administration celebrates 9/11. Thank God for 9/11, because I can spy on the American people and they ain't gonna say crap. Thank God for 9/11 that we can torture people. Thank God for 9/11. Thank God for 9/11. Thank God. You think I'm lying? Let me let you listen to what the first 10 lines of George W. Bush's radio speech. And tell me, count, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how many times within 10 sentences George W. Bush mentions the best thing that ever happened to him, 9/11.
On September the 11th, 2001, our freedom and way of life came under attack by brutal enemies who killed nearly 3,000 innocent Americans.
Two.
We're fighting these enemies across the world. Yet in this first war of the 21st century, one of the most critical battlefronts is the home front. And since September the 11th,
Three.
We've been on the offensive against the terrorists plotting within our borders. One of the first actions we took to protect America after our nation was attacked
Four.
Was to ask Congress Hold to pass it, Howard. The Patriot Act.
Hold it, Howard. Now, that's one, two, three sentences. He's mentioned 9/11 four times. It's the best thing that ever happened to him. He's the only person in America, next to Dick Cheney, that celebrates 9/11. Celebrates 9/11. Unbelievable. Unbelievable in four sentences. Ugh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Good God. Good God. He said that he will spy on us, and he said that he will continue. He said, and let me quote, "This authorization is a vital tool in our war against terrorists. It's critical to saving Americans' lives. The American people expect me to do everything in my power under our laws and the Constitution to protect them and their civil liberties, and that's exactly what I will do as long as I am President of the United States." Well, damn. How screwed are we? How screwed are we? How screwed? There is something that he has taken. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? To a whole new level. He's like the husband that gets caught cheating. And he says, "Yes, I'm cheating. And there's nothing that you can do to stop me. And I'm going to continue to cheat." Now what? Condoleezza Rice on the on Meet the Press yesterday. Question. What Democrats and Republicans in Congress are asking, what is the authority you keep citing? What is the law? What is the statute? Where in the Constitution does it say that the president can eavesdrop, wiretap American citizens without a court order? Fair question? Fair question? I'm just asking, is that a fair question? Condoleezza Rice, you know... Okay, I can't say what I want to say. So I'm going to go on to say what she said. Condoleezza Rice. "The president has authorities under the FISA, which we are using and using actively. He also has authorities that derive from his role as commander-in-chief and his need to protect the country. He has acted within his constitutional authority and within the statutory authority." Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm quite certain that the attorney general will address a lot of these issues. Then why'd you say anything at all? On the one hand, there is an evilness that should be punished in a very special way. The evilness of lying without pausing, without a hiccup. The ability to lie fluidly. The ability to project a constant, unrelenting lie is something that should be punished in a special hot cell in hell. You should be placed in a special little enclave, a little cubbyhole of hell. For a person that can lie like that. She said, "He has authorities that derive from his role as commander-in-chief and his need to protect the country." The question is, what's the law? What's the statute? Because here's the thing, y'all. Here's the thing. She is... What's her job? She's the... Secretary of State. She was with him when he made that decision. Shouldn't she be able to cite off the top of her head the law that gives him the... Or do you all even check that stuff? Oh, Lord. Do you all even check that stuff? What law? I mean, the first question... That's not even the first question. But it needs to be the first question in this administration since it always comes up. The first question should be, is it legal? That should be the first question. Most administrations don't have to deal with that question because they're never at that place. Is it legal? Yes, no, maybe. Yes, go get the statue. Go get the law. Go get the Constitution. Three things. And we have the person that, I mean, Harriet, his second girlfriend, who calls him the most brilliant man in the world. She's right there. You can't tell me that there weren't lawyers in the room, because there is no room that George Bush goes into that Harriet's not there. There is no room. Let me be clear. So there was a lawyer in the room. Oh, well, snap. That's a lawyer that said that torture was okay. What am I thinking? What am I thinking? The question comes up, is it legal? The answer from the Bush administration, who gives a damn? Let's do it. My name is Liz Brown. Lord have mercy. Will you, Lord? Lord. Yeah, I spy on your butt. Now what? Now what? Whew, stay with me.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch a keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard. And angels sing.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Wolf with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fuel. Eastbound 70 at 370 to Blanchett Bridge, everything is rolling steady. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh, look for traffic to be on the move. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Weber Road, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Guyer looks good. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into Washington, Elizabeth, nothing to report there. Northbound 270 is heavy around Gravoy, then slows on either side of 44. Westbound 55-70 split at the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic in the left lane, or the right lane, which is the 55 exit lane. Northbound 55 at Route 3 northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 64 at the 55-70 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. And Route 100 at Route 8T. Look for an accident with injuries there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Pier 1. At Pier 1 Holiday Sale, it's never too late to get the perfect gift for the perfect price. Save up to 50% on gifts you wouldn't find anywhere else. Or get a Pier 1 gift card, but hurry, time is running out. Pier 1, life more interesting. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 20s. Today, this evening, mostly clear with a low around 15. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 19 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 17 and clear skies as well. However, the wind chill makes it feel like it's 7 degrees outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's impossible to accurately describe the horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenage girls unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, this is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
Fiction, classics,
what to get for the person who has everything.
Mystery, horror.
Bargain Books has 50,000 Christmas gifts for under $20.
Westerns, Zane Grey.
Books and more books, plus videos, magazines, and even DVDs.
Mythology, psychology.
Open 7 days a week. 20% discount on Sundays. Mention WGNU and get a free book.
Travel. Children's
Bargain Books at Bargain Books South, 1877 Old Highway 94 South in St. Charles, across from St. Charles 18 Cinema.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Once upon a time, there was a cottage where lived a young boy. One day, his parents went for a walk.
Boy?
They said, for they never got round to naming him.
Please look after the cottage.
I will.
The boy promised. But as soon as they walked down the hill, the boy yelled,
"Halt!"
His parents ran back to the cottage.
Where?
They asked, but the boy only laughed. Furious, they left again.
"Halt!"
The boy yelled again.
Where?
Asked his parents, but the boy only laughed. Again they left, angrier than before. Suddenly, an energy hog appeared.
Hello.
Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy.
Boy, am I hungry,
said the hog. Terrified, the boy cried out,
"Halt!"
But his parents, suspecting another trick, ignored him. So the boy logged on to energyhog.org, played cool games, learned how to rid the cottage of the energy hog, and became a hero to his family. And the moral is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org. Or, if you cry hog, it better be a hog calling contest.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
What do the people of Venezuela think about President Hugo Chavez? Or for that matter, how's he perceived all over Central and South America? Well, we'll get a perspective outside of the one we hear from the American media when we talk to Gregory Wilpert Monday morning at 7. Greg is a journalist who lives in Caracas, and we'll be speaking to him live from South America to talk about the recent elections in Venezuela. Around the world and behind the story. Monday at 7, here on The Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. Live My Life as an African. 1-800-454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Ben, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I just want to call and wish you, on behalf of all of us, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays.
Oh! We have a bad connection. I don't want to miss any of this. Can you call right back then? Because we have a really bad connection.
Okay.
Call me right back.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. And I just want to share, before I get back to Ben, I want to share a quick story. Never mind. Let me get back to Ben. Ben.
Yes,
much better.
Okay, I just call and wish you a happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Happy
holidays.
Happy holidays.
All of us.
Well, happy holidays to all of you all. We miss you.
Yeah, well, we haven't missed you because I've been listening to you. I haven't had a chance to call, you know, but I get up early and work on the computer and I listen to you just about every morning, you know, and to borrow a phrase from you and maybe to modify it with a couple of adjectives, Liz.
All right.
These are super-duper scary times.
Ain't they? Oh.
They're scary. When I got up this morning, I just clicked on the TV and it was on C-SPAN and I saw Congress was still in session.
Still in session. And you know what those sons of guns did?
They
attached the Arctic drilling bill to the military spending bill.
It goes beyond evil and wicked.
You know, and I wanted to share something with you, Ben, that I read somewhere over the weekend that just really brought it home to me about how awful it is. We're living in a country where 50% of the people, more than 50%, but if we take the numbers that as are given to us, 50% of the people voted against George Bush, okay? Congress has those Congress people in office right now that represent the 50% of the people that didn't vote for George Bush. Yet 80% of the legislation that has been passed has been on behalf of the issues of the other 50%. I mean, how are you in a democracy with that? I mean, they talk about other countries. They talk about Bolivia. They talk about Venezuela, that these people that are elected should make sure that they represent all of the people. Well, we don't represent all. This Congress, this Senate doesn't represent all of the people and has no intention of representing all the people.
Doesn't even have a majority of the people.
No. No.
And I think it's less than 50. The people that they're really represents less than 2% of the real people of this country.
But they still got 50% of the vote.
Yeah, I know, but those other folks were taken in by the lies. You know, they are just misinformed. And George Bush, you know, I'm no fan of Adolf Hitler, but he was a better leader than this guy is.
Jesus.
I mean, that's a horrible thing to say. I realize that. But it looks to me every day like it's true. Secret police.
He has
dropping on average citizens and lying in your face every day.
So you're saying that he has the instinct of Adolf Hitler, but not the skill level.
That's right. That's the good way to put it. And it's really, really scary because the news media seems to back him up. They don't show the other side. I've looked at his speech. And I had to watch The Daily Show to see that question and answer segment. And they cut away from, even C-SPAN cuts away from Jack Mercer when he comes on and makes a statement.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
They cut away for some other insignificant Republican lady. Like, who cares about if baseball players use steroids? I mean, with what we're faced with today, they're debating that.
And think about it. They gave more time to the baseball and more coverage to the baseball steroid non-issue than they did to the evacuees, the victims of Katrina.
Exactly. I mean, and that's really pitiful. CNN is, you know, they need to be hauled into court because it's not even cable. It should be CPN, Cable Propaganda Network.
Mm.
Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, with all the things that was going on with Congressman Murtha and all of this other stuff that was going on, they were showing people having wrestling matches at Walmart, free advertising for Walmart.
Mm.
You know, early shoppers and everything.
Mm.
It's worse than what Pravda did during the Cold War, what this news media is doing.
And let me share this story with you. Did you hear about this at a senior at UMass in Dartmouth? He was visited by federal agents 2 months ago. Why? because he requested a copy of Mao Zedong's book on communism called The Little Red Book. They came. He was completing a research paper on communism for mm-hmm. a professor's class on fascism. Mm-hmm. He filled out the form for the request, leaving his name, his address, his phone number, and Social Security, a number. He was later visited at his home by two agents of the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, that's the same book that the Panthers were selling, you know, to fund their breakfast program in the 60s.
But feel this, Ben. feel this. First of all, how did the FBI, I mean, how did the Homeland Security folks find out that this kid had made a request for Mao Zedong? Because they said when they came to his home that he is now on a watch list.
They broke the law.
How did they find out?
They broke the law. They illegally monitored him, and they broke the law. And then you got people up there arguing whether or not it was against the law. And every you're right, Liz. Every time he, you know, they invoke 9/11. 9/11 was the best thing that happened for George Bush and Dick Cheney.
And that's why they celebrated every time they opened their mouth.
Right.
That
it
was happy
them
days
license,
for them.
You know, all bets are off, and it gives them the license to do anything. Torture people, spy on citizens.
Propaganda.
And kill people, start an illegal war.
That's right.
And why does anybody expect them to do anything about spying on American citizens when they went to war and fought what the world knows now is an illegal war? And he's still justified. He's not saying anything.
And I gotta go to a break.
Okay,
Ben,
well,
happy holidays.
I've been listening to you.
Thank you.
Out here, but we got the next best. That's Air America.
Give everybody a hug and a kiss from me.
I sure will.
All right, take care, Ben.
All right.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Gregory Wilpert, live from Caracas, Venezuela. We're going to talk about Hugo Chavez. We're going to talk about Bolivia. We're going to talk about Mexico. We're going to talk about the Central American region and how it is going left and why. Stay with us.
Sleep well, my sweet little child. Caressed by breezes of angels' wings from heaven so soft and mild. Be shared.
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Karachi. The foreign minister of Pakistan is on record as saying his country will give help to Iran if the United States takes the extreme step of attacking that country. Khurshid Kasuri said that Pakistan was prepared to acquire as much technology and defense equipment that it could to make sure a balance of power remains in that region. Pakistan has already said it wants the Iranian nuclear issue solved along the guidelines set up by the International Atomic Energy Agency. And Dateline Baghdad. Vice President Cheney made a secret visit to Iraq yesterday in order to talk up the results of the elections from last week. He said the population of all the segments of the country were well represented in the voting. Cheney visited with leaders of government as well as military commanders in the Green Zone. He also ate lunch with a number of soldiers who worked in security details on Thursday's election. And, of course, he gave a rah-rah speech to the troops. He also toured the area in and around the capital on a heavily armed Black Hawk helicopter. His visit was so secret that the Iraqi prime minister was shocked to see him, as he thought he was going to see the American ambassador. His last visit was in 1991 when he was defense secretary for former President Bush. Strangely enough, the American soldiers on his security detail were armed, but the Iraqi soldiers had no weapons, although they did walk around with their arms stretched out as though they were carrying an imaginary one. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Next on Mondays at 9, the concept of becoming a nanopreneur. How can you develop your own successful micro small business? What are the ways for achieving positive results and positive cash flows? Where do you go to get ideas? If you're fed up with struggling to make ends meet and are ready to go to work for yourself, then you need to catch Michael Brooks, strategic marketing consultant and founder of the Small Biz Games that salute the top 100 home-based businesses in the world. He's our special guest on the final 2005 edition of Mondays at 9.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Now, the Lincoln Middle School Poetry Club.
Mothers and fathers and mothers and fathers. Mothers, daddy-os. We are your children, the apples of your eye, the acorns next to the tree. You've already given us so much, so we're not asking you to teach us Dutch. Just a phone call to our teacher. Ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. Or volunteering in our classroom. Any involvement in our school is cooler than cool.
Ice cold.
Because studies show a little participation in our place of education increases our chances for graduation.
And we like shiny caps and gowns.
A little involvement goes a long way. For ways to get involved in your child's school, join your local PTA or visit pta.org.
A message from the Ad Council and National PTA.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
What do the people of Venezuela think about President Hugo Chavez? Or for that matter, how's he perceived all over Central and South America? Well, we'll get a perspective outside of the one we hear from the American media when we talk to Gregory Wilpert Monday morning at 7. Greg is a journalist who lives in Caracas, and we'll be speaking to him live from South America to talk about the recent elections in Venezuela. Around the world and behind the story. Monday at 7, here on The Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Little girl, little boys, dream of world. Lots of toys this time of the year. When Christmas is near, evergreen or snowy white, sleigh bells ring through the night. This time of the year, when Christmas is near.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. This is madness. This is madness. This is the guy that has his finger on the button. Check it out.
Make it more likely that killers like these 9/11 hijackers will be
12.
Identified and located in time. And the activities conducted under this authorization have helped detect and prevent possible terrorist attacks in the United States and abroad. The activities I authorized are reviewed approximately every 45 days. Each review is based on a fresh intelligence assessment.
What was that word? Intelligiment?
Based on a fresh intelligiment assessment.
Intelligiment?
Review is based on a fresh intelligiment assessment.
Intelligiment? This is the dude that's got his finger on the button?
Based on a fresh intelligiment assessment.
Intelligiment? And he didn't correct himself. Because he didn't hear anything wrong. Intelligiment? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We are so screwed.
Intelligiment assessment.
Intelligiment. The class clown. The kid that flunked out of school, the cheerleader, the kid whose daddy bought him his degree, the guy that failed at every business that he tried despite having a multimillionaire family and all the hookups in the world, failed at everything he tried, is the guy that you all elected into office.
Fresh intelligiment assessment.
Intelligiment and 9/11. He never screws up 9/11. He never screws that word up. Why would he? Sometimes you tell on yourself. How could he say something that he ain't? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me, Dave.
Yes. Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Let me, as an average person, let me see if I'm hearing the president right now. Forget about the Constitution. As long as we are doing it in the name of fighting terrorism, we can break the laws, we can invade sovereign countries, but as long as we're doing it in the name of fighting terrorism, it's okay.
That is correct.
Legit.
That is correct.
Is that what I'm hearing out here?
That is correct.
Oh, so, okay.
All right.
So,
are you clear?
I just thought maybe I was, I thought I was still in the Matrix.
You're not. You're not.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Listen, these are the worst people that have ever been in office. But the thing is so surprising to me is how they justify the behavior.
Justifying their disobedience to God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On any station, as previous callers have indicated, they justify the actions of this leadership.
Of madmen.
It's sad. I mean, it's extremely sad. Ooh. I hope we can survive until they're out of office.
If the Democrats get tired of laying down, perhaps we will.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call.
Keep up the good work.
Take care. Gary. Gary?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm always coming on telling you about George Bush and this administration. And I say again, this administration have overthrown America. Congress is under wraps. They scared to speak out because they got something on them, most of them. And it's a sad day for America, but like a runaway train. And that's my comment. We got an idiot in the White House and a demon upside his head and, we are doomed if we leave up to him. It's by the time this country come out of this, it takes two or three decades, and it probably never cure the soul that this man is putting up on this country.
Thanks.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Gary. Next hour, journalist Gregory Wilpert. He will be joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. We will be talking about Hugo Chavez, and much, much more. You don't want to miss that interview. Stay with me.
Next year, I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barb. President Bush admits some of his decisions on Iraq have led to terrible loss, but Mr. Bush insists for every scene of destruction in Iraq, there are more signs of rebuilding and hope. ABC's Ann Compton is at the White House.
Never losing eye contact with a camera, President Bush made a direct appeal from the Oval Office for renewed confidence in his strategy in Iraq, and he spoke directly to his critics.
I have a request. Do not give in to despair, and do not give up on this fight for freedom.
The president hinted that fewer American troops should be needed in the future following Iraqi elections, but he made no commitment on U.S. withdrawals. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Reaction to the president's speech is divided among party lines. Republican Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says the stakes are too high to allow political games to detract from our objective of helping to establish a free, stable, and democratic Iraq. Democrats say President Bush did not give any specifics on when troop levels will decrease. A senior U.S. official in Iraq says they are examining a video from an extremist group that purportedly shows a man being shot in the head. The Islamic Army of Iraq claims the man shot is an American hostage, but U.S. officials say it is impossible to identify him conclusively. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says President Bush is allowed to electronically eavesdrop without a court order. Gonzalez, on ABC's Good Morning America, says after 9/11, Congress passed legislation to engage in this kind of surveillance.
The use of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act sometimes does not provide the speed or the agility that we need in this changing world of technology to monitor our enemies.
Democrats such as Russ Feingold of Wisconsin say President Bush has made up a law that Congress never passed. An Israeli doctor says Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who suffered a mild stroke, should be released from a hospital tomorrow. This is ABC News.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this door.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gaston.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
This is the Secret Shopper Network.
I'm here at Michael's. They have an amazing selection of gifts for kids, teachers, everyone on my list. On sale now. No handheld gizmos or R-rated video games. They have creative educational activity sets, frames, scrapbooking, and a great selection of kids' art sets starting at just $3.88. Over and out.
This has been the Secret Shopper Network.
The gifts you need at a Michael's store near you.
The House has adjourned after an all-night session. Among the measures, lawmakers approved a bill that allows oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Researchers claim to have a heartbeat away from telling how your heart really functions.
The sound of a beating heart. And now, contrary to the traditional view that the heart acts like a piston pump, scientists at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, think the heart action is more like a twisting of cardiac muscles, which squeeze or wring out blood into the circulatory system. Imagine it sounding perhaps something like this. If the research holds up, the scientists say it could lead to new treatments for heart disease. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Indianapolis got a lightning bolt from the Chargers. The Colts lost to San Diego, ending their bid for an undefeated NFL season. Michael Barr, ABC News.
Peyton Colston with a check of WGNU News. This report of WGNU News is brought to you by TomTom. Checking the news, parents may want to think twice before running out and buying their kids a violent video game this holiday season. A new study indicates there's a link between those violent games and a person's behavior. Bruce Bartholow, an assistant professor of psychological sciences at the University of Missouri, says the study found that violent video game players are desensitized to other images of violence.
Now, this effect was only there for the people who played a lot of violent video games and only for the violent pictures. So it had something specifically to do with violence.
The study looked at the effects on undergraduate males who routinely play games like Grand Theft Auto and Doom. Bartholow says the study shows there's a long-term chronic effect from playing violent games. In other holiday news, Anheuser-Busch is urging people to be responsible this holiday season and use a designated driver. Carol Clark, a spokesperson for the beer giant, says the greatest gift you can give someone is to serve as their designated driver and make sure they get home safely.
Anheuser-Busch is adamantly opposed to drunk driving, and during the holiday season, to really remind adults that it's the perfect time to be responsible and encourage those individuals who go out and drink to use a designated driver.
Clark says Anheuser-Busch's annual survey shows more than 146 million people have been or have used a designated driver. She says that's the main reason the number of drunk driving deaths is down 39% since 1992. And finally, statistics show that most Americans gain up to 5 extra pounds over the holiday season. Diet coach Jorge Cruz from www.aol.com says there are ways to battle the bulge and still enjoy the holiday festivities.
The best thing anyone can do to avoid gaining those extra pounds is knowing that the thing that most people do is they'll starve themselves throughout the day for that holiday party. And of course, because they're starved, they'll eat a huge, huge dinner. They'll binge on really a lot of food and overdo it. And so the key is eating small meals every 3 hours.
Cruz also says you should not think of dieting as just a New Year's resolution, but instead incorporate good eating habits all year. Go online to www.aol.com for more information about keeping the pounds off over the holidays. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by TomTom. TomTom is your portable GPS solution. It's perfect whether you're stuck in holiday traffic or for a holiday gift. Right now, get a $50 holiday rebate on a TomTom Go GPS, available at Best Buy, Circuit City, and other fine retailers. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Star Registry. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for a heavy volume going on there. Westbound 255 from Gibson Barracks to Lindbergh, look for normal traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, very heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 between 44 and Marshall, you've got slow traffic, as well as eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow volume there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge is slow in the right lane. And westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingsbridge traffic between the 5570 split all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic on the left ramp. And westbound 64 at 157, there's an accident on the right shoulder, but there are no delays. And Route 100 at a Highway A and T, look for an injury accident, as well as Wilson Avenue at Hampton Avenue. There's an injury accident there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the International Star Registry. This holiday season, give an amazing gift that will last a lifetime. Name a star after someone. To order, visit starregistry.com or call 1-800-282-3333. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for today. Partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 20s this evening, mostly clear with a low around 15. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 19 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 18, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 8. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Boom, 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 boom.
slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live. We are streamed at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com, LIZZBrown.com. And also, don't forget, the show is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. At WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go to the website, check out the shows that you missed. Check out the shows that you want to hear again. Click on, you'll get straight to WhiteRoseSociety.org. You don't want to miss it. Also, check out some of the links to the stories that we do on the Wake Up Call every morning. My goodness, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics. One of my favorite topics, one of my favorite people. We have joining us from Caracas, Venezuela, journalist Gregory Wilpert, who has raised the question and answered the question about the Chavez government. We all know that Hugo Chavez, since 1998, his government and his persona has inspired a loud and fierce debate. Some folks have expressed horror mostly folks in Western governments. Mostly folks in Western governments that are used to a yes, sir response from brown-skinned people. Western governments that are coveting oil that is not theirs. The question in some people's minds is Hugo Chavez just not acting right because he's a socialist bad person? Is he leading his country towards, God forbid, Castro-style communism? What's the answer? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some policies and some history of Hugo Chavez and indeed the Central American region. We're going to do that this morning by having a conversation with Gregory Wilpert, joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. Gregory, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Very good. I don't know. I'm certain that you are aware of the headlines that are all over the papers here in the United States about George W. Bush admitting that he spies on Americans and saying that and maintaining that he will continue to do so. Do those confessions by George W. Bush kind of make Hugo Chavez sound a little bit like a prophet about how the United States is going to be spying on Venezuela?
Yes, it certainly contributes to the existing impression here that Chavez has been talking about of the U.S. government being a government that does not respect neither its national laws nor international laws.
Talk to us about, let's go back to the election of Hugo Chavez, because I think it's important, given what is happening right now in Central America, when we talk about Bolivia, when we talk about Chile, Mexico, Nicaragua, Peru, there are some major changes going on in the Central American and region. Was the election of Hugo Chavez kind of the beginning of that?
Yes, it was. I mean, he was the first person in Latin America to be elected from the left, basically. And after that, a whole bunch of others got elected, such as Lula in Brazil and Ecuador, although that didn't quite work out, in Argentina and in Uruguay, and now Bolivia just yesterday.
Isn't that, the Bolivian story is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the polls were predicting he would only get something like 45% of the votes. And he won with an absolute majority of over 50%, and looks like he might have a majority in the Congress as well. So that's really quite amazing.
And he also connects himself to Hugo Chavez.
Yes, Chavez sees him as a good friend, and they regularly meet here in Caracas. I actually met him, about a year ago at one of the conferences that had been organized here. There's a definite connection.
What happened in 1998 that caused Hugo Chavez to be elected?
One has to see what happened in Venezuela is that the country has been was on a 20-year decline, economic decline, that is from about the early 80s until the late 90s. Per capita income decreased by almost a third. That is, the actual income that people had decreased dramatically in that time period, which is actually an unprecedented decline if you compare it to any other country in Latin America and even in the world. And this is largely a result of two factors. One was the declining price of oil, and the other was the result of bad economic policies, essentially. And of course, at the same time, the parties that were governing in those 20 years were becoming more and more corrupt. And so Chavez became elected mainly to clean up with this style of governing, the corruption, and the increasing poverty. And that's what he set out to do, but there was tremendous resistance. And so for the first couple of years that he was in office, he was not able to implement all of his policies. But ever since the coup was defeated and the oil industry shut down, he's been able to implement the policies that he set out to do, which is to turn over the oil country's wealth, the massive income that has been coming in since then, turn it over towards the poor of Venezuela.
In America, a lot of our issues, I would maintain that all of our issues come down to race. Does race and color play a role, or did race and color play a role in the election of Hugo Chavez?
I would say yes, but it's in a more subtle way than in the U.S. That is, in Venezuela, there is explicit racism, but...
How does that play out? How does the racism play out in Venezuela?
Well, for example, upper-class people will often refer to the poor as being the blacks, even though they're not all black. I think it's only about 10% of the population, but they'll refer to everybody as the blacks, and then often they have derogatory terms such as monkeys or things like that that are very derogatory. But the reason I say it's more subtle is, or even though it seems very blatant, in a strange way, it's also more subtle in that it's actually more of a classism in many cases. That is, if somebody who's of a darker skin color has a higher position, then they're much better regarded than if they're poor. So in many ways, the classism, that is, the disrespect towards people who are poor, is actually much stronger than the racism here in Venezuela, although both the racism is definitely present.
How was President Chavez perceived when he was running for office? Well, because his skin is brown, his economic class, how did that play into it as well?
Well, when he first got elected, actually, a large segment of the middle class supported him. Because they were also sick and tired of the previous parties. And I would say that Chavez was essentially elected by a large segment of the middle class. It was certainly the upper class that disdained him also for his darker skin color. But amongst the middle class, that didn't seem to be such an issue. But it became an issue once it became clear that he was siding with the poor more than with the middle class. And that's when this classism and racism combined. But that didn't happen until later in his presidential term.
Is what we saw of the face of classism, the face of racism as it played out, particularly during the coup, is it a true reflection, or was it helped, or was it created by the presence of the United States and the coup effort? Did the United States fan the flame, or did the United States light the flame?
Well, I think, yeah, it fanned the flame. That is, certainly they supported the coup. It was obvious in first of all, the statements that happened when it first happened. You know, the U.S. government was practically the only government in the world that supported the coup government almost immediately before all the facts were in. And so they definitely supported it. And there was also some CIA documents that came out that said that they had advanced notice of the coup. Exactly whether to what extent there was participation is unclear, but I think most of the evidence shows that it was largely a homegrown affair with U.S. support.
So take us to the most current election, December 4th. The difference between the two elections and how successful was President Chavez in getting elected, as well as creating the majorities that he needed in his parliament?
Well, actually, much more impressive was the presidential recall referendum last year. That's where you could really tell the shift in Chavez's support, that is, between when he was first elected and the recall referendum, because that's when the poor turned out to vote. I went out to see people voting, and many of them told me they were voting for the first time in their life. That is, they didn't even vote in 98, even though some of them were 50 and 60 years old. It was a tremendous turnout. 10 million people voted, which is a far larger number than had ever voted in Venezuelan election. And
the opposition was represented as well.
Yes, and the opposition...
Because they didn't sit down on this one like they did with the election on the 4th.
Exactly. And so that's why, of course, the turnout was tremendous, and you could tell the clear support that Chavez had from the poor. Whereas in this election, it was quite different because the opposition parties, like you mentioned, had withdrawn from the campaign. And so because there was no contest, of course, both sides, the opposition supporters didn't go out to vote, and Chavez supporters didn't go out to vote as strongly. I mean, when in the recall referendum, almost 6 million people voted for Chavez, whereas in this December 4th election, it was more like 3 million. So about half the people, half the number turned out because there was no contest. And the Chavez parties made the mistake of not really working to turn out the vote. They just figured, well, we're going to win anyway, so why put in a lot of effort?
Why was that a mistake?
I think it was a mistake on the international arena. That is, that they did not realize that the eyes of the world were on Venezuela and that the opposition was trying to play this international card, saying that if not enough people turn out, then this government and the National Assembly that was being elected is illegitimate. And they should have paid more attention to that. If they had, they would have gotten more people to come to vote. So right now there's an international campaign being launched by the U.S. government and by the opposition here to claim that because only 25% of the people voted, that the new parliament does not have the legitimacy it needs.
Does that have any legal basis, or is that simply playing to the international crowd?
Yeah, it has no legal basis whatsoever. There's no minimum requirement, and actually 25% isn't so bad, because it's actually the same number that voted for Chavez. I mean, there were 3 million people who turned out to vote, which is slightly below what Chavez first got when he was first elected. It's just that, you know, it was all Chavez supporters. So 25% is, you know, there were almost all Chavez supporters who voted, which is more or less the same percentage that supported him when he first got elected in 98, and that was recognized universally as being perfectly legitimate. So in terms of the actual numbers, it's not that much different from before.
But I guess if they're going to be trying to work this 25% card, you think they're going to use this that issue as Chavez attempts to make some constitutional changes?
Yes, definitely. There's a good possibility that they might try to change the constitution, particularly involving issues such as the land reform. There's been problems in the constitution that didn't allow the land reform to advance as quickly as they would like, so there might be changes there. And in some other issues, people have also talked about extending the presidential term. I doubt that will actually be changed, although it's possible.
Why do you think
those changes, then the opposition will certainly use the turnout as an excuse to somehow sabotage the effort.
Well, the extending the presidential term has been widely speculated about, and in many cases it's almost been reported as a foregone conclusion. You think that's not so?
No, I don't. Chavez has on numerous occasions actually denied that he's interested in extending the presidential term. People always quote him as saying that the Bolivarian Revolution is what this project is known here, as lasting until 2021 or 2030, and he's also said that he would retire from politics in 2021. But then, so that's always interpreted as though he wants to be president until then. But he clarified on numerous occasions that he doesn't, that he only intends on being president until 2012, which is when his second term would be over. And rather, he just means that he'll be in a supportive advisory capacity until 2021, not as president. But still, his supporters are kind of pushing for a constitutional change on that issue.
Now, with regard to the land reform changes that are brewing, could you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, it's a bit complicated. I mean, the land reform has been moving ahead largely in terms of redistributing government-owned land. And as far as redistributing privately held land, it has been a little bit more difficult because landowners will often claim that they have legal title, and they'll tie up the issue in the court, either saying that they are using the land, in which case it cannot be redistributed, or that when the government says that their title is not proper, they have forged documents or something like that, they'll try to challenge that in the court. And until the issue is decided in the court, no one, the people, the poor farmers who are supposed to get that land, aren't allowed to use or occupy that land. And so redistributing privately held land has been held up and tied up in court battles. And the government would like to have people work the land as long as it's tied up in court battles. And that's currently not allowed.
If the people were to say what their agenda is and their primary concerns are, the people of Venezuela, and I'm talking about the people that have been disenfranchised prior to the election of President Chavez, what would they say are their number one priorities?
Well, unemployment is certainly a very important issue. Almost half of the population works in the informal sector, which has no social security, no benefits of any kind. Unemployment is a big issue. Another issue, of course, is just the general poverty. I mean, which is of course closely tied to unemployment. And then, of course, is crime, which is also closely tied to poverty. So it all connects. And but there is, it looks like there have been advances made. The most recent statistics on poverty have shown that they're going down, and so that has meant an improvement also in employment, and crime has not improved too much, but it's improving a little bit, very slowly. So it looks like those issues are being dealt with, but in a very, very slow manner.
Do the people feel that way? It seems like a lot of the reports that are coming out about the needs of the poor people are being addressed in issues like education and health care. Are the people feeling those things, those efforts?
Yes, definitely. And that's one of the reasons that poverty has declined. If you take into consideration that people don't need to pay as much money as they did going to a private clinic or to a public clinic that is asking for bribes, they don't need to do that anymore because there's all these local community clinics now that the government set up in the poor neighborhoods. Or, for example, they can go shopping in food stores that sell food products at a 40% discount relative to the normal supermarket.
Because of the subsidized food.
Exactly.
Okay. We have to take a break, Gregory.
Okay.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to journalist Gregory Wilpert. He's joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're talking about President Hugo Chavez, and we're talking about Venezuela. Stay with us. Our number is 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution@lizbrown.com. We'll be back.
Morning, St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture, closing forever. Northbound 170 is scuttered as an accident reported in the center lane involving an overturned vehicle. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall, the Blanchette Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 from Ballas to Spady, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, normal traffic. Westbound 270 from at West Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 is slow from Gravoy to 44, and then around Big Bend it's slow as well. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road, it is slow as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic there as well. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for heavy volume going on. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 all the way onto Laclede's Landing is slow, mainly on the left ramp. And Mugi Road at Old Highway 94, there's an injury accident. Westbound Illinois 15 at the Shrine, there's a disabled tanker truck reporting, so
so use caution there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Rhodes Furniture is closing forever December 28th in Baldwin, St. Peter's, and Hazelwood. Last chance to name your own price. Nothing reasonable refused. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 20s. This evening mostly clear with a low around 15. Tuesday partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening mostly cloudy again with a low around 20. Then on Wednesday partly cloudy, high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 18, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 9 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Well, we've found another scam we're going to tell off on Monday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Seems the FCC wants to increase one of the taxes on your phone bill to squeeze another $700 million out of you. The charge is called the Universal Service Fund. It was set up over 20 years ago to make sure all Americans can afford a phone regardless of where they live. Now, the trouble is this hike could price phone service out of reach for the elderly and poor. Does that make sense? We'll examine this issue with Pam Solo, president of the Civil Society Institute, Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I had no pain. I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49. If only I'd known. If only I'd listened.
The complications of diabetes often go undiagnosed and are far more serious than you might think. Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. But you can reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Learn how. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
It's not too late. Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
Next on Mondays at 9, the concept of becoming a nanopreneur. How can you develop your own successful micro small business? What are the ways for achieving positive results and positive cash flows? Where do you go to get ideas? If you're fed up with struggling to make ends meet and are ready to go to work for yourself, then you need to catch Michael Brooks, strategic marketing consultant and founder of the Small Biz Games that salute the top 100 home-based businesses in the world. He's our special guest on the final 2005 edition of Mondays at 9.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Gregory Wilpert, journalist, and he's joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. Gregory, how much does the election of Mr. Morales in Bolivia, how much does that help President Chavez?
I think quite a bit. It certainly continues, first of all, the trend that has existed in Latin America and in some sense, prove Trevor's right, that the leftward trend is something somewhat of a wave of the future here in Latin America. But more importantly, it also helps Chavez in terms of trying to integrate Latin America. It's been one of his main political platforms to strengthen Latin American unity and integration. And it also provides another ally in terms of the international campaign to discredit Chavez. It's very important to have, whether it's in the Organization of American States or just in general in the international stage, to have another supporter.
One of the ways that Chavez has been governing that is different than, and I think somewhat concerning to Washington, D.C., is how he uses Venezuelan oil and how he creates partnerships with people outside of the United States. Talk to us about his policy, what he does with the oil that is different and alarming to Washington, D.C.
Well, one of the main things that he's done that's different is that he has redirected the social spending, that is, the oil profit, I mean, towards social spending. Previously, when the oil company made money, it essentially used the money to make purchases of refineries abroad. It used it to keep the money essentially outside of Venezuela. And, for example, in the case of the Venezuelan assets in the United States, the money stayed in the United States. For example, Venezuela owns the gas station chain Citgo, which
yes.
also connects controls something like six different refineries in the United States. And whenever Citgo made any kind of profit, which it often did, those profits would stay in Venezuela, in the United States, and would usually be used for, you know, contracting other oil companies within the U.S. Or making other investments. And so now the profits for the first time are being sent back to Venezuela. Same thing all around the world, actually. The oil company, the state-owned oil company of Venezuela, has assets all around the world. And the same thing was happening, that those profits made in other parts of the world were staying outside of Venezuela. So that's one important change. Now it's directing the profits towards social programs in the country. And so I'm not sure if that's exactly what's angering the United States in terms of, I think more important is not so much how Venezuela is using its own oil profits, but also that it's taxing foreign oil companies to a much greater extent than was previously the case. For example, there are a number of different oil companies active in Venezuela, operating under a kind of subcontractor licenses of a sort, and we're making tremendous profits, and we're paying only something like 1% tax, and that tax has been increased to almost 50% of their profits.
Mm.
So that's really a pretty dramatic change.
Also, isn't President Chavez creating relationships, selling oil at discount prices to other Latin American countries as well?
Yes, that's actually another important area that the Chavez government has been doing something different. He's been creating energy agreements, especially now that the price of oil is so high, that has tremendously helped the countries of the Caribbean and of other countries in Latin America, and just recently, the last couple of months, launched a program to sell heating oil to poor communities in the United States, also at a tremendous discount. And that discount, though, needs to be clarified, because actually, at least the government is saying that it's not costing Venezuela anything because they are cutting out the middlemen. That is, they're able to sell the heating oil below the market rate because they're transporting it and delivering it directly instead of using all kinds of middlemen as it would normally be the case.
And the impact of selling the oil cheaper to members of the countries in the Caribbean, countries in Latin America, not only does it help them with their oil, not only does it help Venezuela sell their oil to a different place and not be dependent upon the United States, but it also helps solidify Hugo Chavez and Venezuela, because those folks are not going to be mad at him on behalf of the United States when he's cutting those kinds of deals.
Yes, certainly. Chavez has been winning a lot of allies throughout the Caribbean and Latin America, which also helps him, not just in terms of the public relations battle, so to speak, with the United States, but also in terms of promoting Latin American integration. The oil deals are a major first step in that direction.
And winning the PR battle, I have to say that it is really, really kind of brilliant, the idea of bringing the oil here, to the heating oil, to a place like the Bronx. Where did that idea originate? How did that happen?
Well, I actually heard two different versions. One version was that the U.S. government actually asked oil companies and oil companies in general in the United States to see what they can do to provide cheaper heating oil because it was going to be so expensive this winter. And the only oil company that responded was Citgo.
Everybody but you.
So that's one version. Another version, I think...
Wait. Don't they call that be careful what you ask for?
Right. the other version, I think, is probably true as well, and it just happened that they both coincided, was that Chavez was looking at the agreements with the Caribbean, and then he visited the U.S. for one of the U.N. summits and visited the four communities, he kind of was wondering, you know, these people here are not much better off than many people who live in some Caribbean countries, and said, well, you know, since we're helping them, why not help poor communities in the United States? And asked his advisors what could be done, and that's when that idea came up as well.
We're going to take another break. I'm talking to a freelance journalist, sociologist, and former U.S. Fulbright scholar, Greg Wilpert. He's joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. We're talking about President Chavez and Venezuela. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wake-Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by...
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Bush administration has compiled files on over 10,000 Americans it considers political enemies. A political enemy is defined as someone who disagrees with the administration's policies. The files go back to Bush's days as governor of Texas and are available for call-up at a moment's notice to discredit anyone who speaks out against White House actions. The computerized records have personal information on congressional members, local, state, and federal officials, people in the media, and even private citizens who have gotten notoriety speaking against Bush policies. Several former administration officials say the records are the reason Karl Rove and Scooter Libby had so much information about Valerie Plame and her husband Joseph Wilson. A good deal of the dirt in the files has been acquired with the help of the controversial Patriot Act. This project is the brainchild of Karl Rove. The database grew considerably once the administration began getting national security letters from the FBI. Those letters contain information compiled by the Bureau through monitoring of telephone calls, correspondence, and financial information. They are permitted to do that without a court order. The Patriot Act mandates that any institution that receives a request for such information cannot reveal that it was asked for the information or that it gave it to the government. The database is not in the White House, but is located in some secret place on a private computer, and that's why the special prosecutor in the Valerie Plame leak case didn't find out about it. The White House pays for keeping it up through the use of private funding by Bush supporters, so it's not even listed as part of the White House budget. One ex-staffer summed it up best by saying Karl Rove once stated that if you screw with us, we will screw you over, but good. This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by...
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618 618- 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
Well, we've found another scam we're going to tell off on Monday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Seems the FCC wants to increase one of the taxes on your phone bill to squeeze another $700 million out of you. The charge is called the Universal Service Fund. It was set up over 20 years ago to make sure all Americans can afford a phone regardless of where they live. Now, the trouble is this hike could price phone service out of reach for the elderly and poor. Does that make sense? We'll examine this issue with Pam Solo, president of the Civil Society Institute, Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
Help the Bi-State Area elderly and disabled beat the winter cold snap with a donation to Heat Up St. Louis. The all-volunteer charity provides heat grants. Send your tax-deductible donation to Heat Up St. Louis, care of UMB Bank, P.O. Box 868, St. Louis, Missouri, 63188. Or log on to heatupstlewis.org. News to you from WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, the concept of becoming a nanopreneur. How can you develop your own successful micro small business? What are the ways for achieving positive results and positive cash flows? Where do you go to get ideas? If you're fed up with struggling to make ends meet and are ready to go to work for yourself, then you need to catch Michael Brooks, strategic marketing consultant and founder of the Small Biz Games that salute the top 100 home-based businesses in the world. He's our special guest on the final 2005 edition of Mondays at 9. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to journalist Gregory Wilpert in Caracas, Venezuela. Gregory, one of the things I'd like to talk about as we end out this hour is the role of the media in Venezuela. Prior, or when Hugo Chavez was elected in 1998, there was a different kind of media than there is right now in 2005. Can you tell us about that, the changes that have occurred?
Well, at first, some of the media companies, the private mass media, supported Chavez. There was one main television station, actually, which is owned by Gustavo Cisneros, who's this big Latin American media mogul who also owns Univision, which is the main Latin American TV in the United States, and also one of the main newspapers supported Chavez. But once it became clear that Chavez was not going to play the usual game of politics, that is, some of them were expecting to... I think both Cisneros and the newspaper owner were expected to be named ministers in Chavez's cabinet, which would have been common practice in the past. Chavez did not do that, and so they turned against him. And, of course, they became more and more actively involved in the opposition, and all of the mass media became essentially an opposition, or part of an integral part of the opposition. And so that's been a major change.
And the role of the United States or of America in that media, did America have any role in the opposition on a regular basis, like a CNN basis?
Well, there's been a lot of complaints, I mean, from the government about international media coverage of what's happening in Venezuela. And actually, you know, I would say that a lot of the media coverage was tended to favor the opposition, and I would say was rather biased in favor of the opposition. But much more serious was in terms of the domestic opposition and the domestic media, which also, of course, influences international media coverage. For example, during the coup, the national media here in Venezuela was very involved in the coup and falsified the news in order to support the coup, and the international media just gobbled it up and didn't critically ask what was happening. So, for example, when they said that Chavez ordered his supporters to shoot on opposition protesters, the international media just accepted that at face value and reported it as if it were fact.
And you were there, and that's not what happened.
Exactly. I mean, I saw the shootings that were happening, and I saw that the police fired at people and at Chavez supporters, and they were shooting back. So, I mean, I saw that something completely different was going on. Anyway, but in the meantime, the media here has really mellowed out, I would say, because they've noticed that they've lost a lot of support, I mean, a lot of readers and a lot of viewers, and so they've had to kind of moderate their tone a little bit more, although still the opposition continues to, the private media continues to be an opposition stronghold.
Well, in the United States, it plays very heavily that there has been there's a new media in town, that it's a Chavez-owned media, and that it is reporting propaganda from Chavez's perspective. That's different than what was present in 1998.
Well, actually, I don't think that's quite accurate. That is, that there is a state television channel, and that it's always been very strictly under the control of Chavez. That is, it's been it's presenting the government's viewpoint on everything. And a number of new channels have been created since then. However, those do not participate in this kind of pro-Chavez reporting.
Because we hear, if I can interrupt just for a second, right. Gregory, it's reported here that there's an Al Jazeera type of news that is going on in Venezuela thanks to President Chavez. And that's not accurate.
That's one of the new TV channels that Chavez created in cooperation with the governments of Uruguay, Argentina, and Cuba. And but the news coverage and the reporting that comes from this new Telesur, as it's called, this new channel for all of Latin America, is really quite balanced. I mean, it's not all pro-Chavez all the time. I mean, it's not like that at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that are important to the government here are not even covered by the Telesur channel. I think it's really genuinely independent, even though technically the Venezuelan government owns a 51% stake in the new channel. But that's why I'm saying I don't think they're part of that. It's really quite different from the state-owned channel, which in the main state TV, which is really pro-Chavez.
And one couple of last questions here. What is the status of the relationship between Chavez and Aristide now? I know that President Chavez had asked if Aristide wanted to stay in Venezuela after he was kicked out of his country by the United States. What is their relationship now? Are they still in communication with one another?
I honestly don't know if they're still in communication. All I know is that the Chavez government has refused to support the coup government in Haiti, but that's all I know. I don't know what the connections are. I know that there have been some communications with Aristide, but beyond that, I don't know.
And we have two more minutes here. What's your prediction, Gregory, as to the upcoming elections in Latin America? What should we look forward to?
I think the trend will continue. In Mexico, there's an election Probably not in Colombia. Uribe, the conservative government, will probably be reelected there. But there's also elections in Nicaragua and many other places. I think a total of 8 countries are having presidential elections, and it looks very much like the left will continue to win in Latin America, which will continue to create a counterbalance to the Bush administration and will also move forward the integration, the political and economic integration of Latin America.
And has the Iraq war proven to be a distraction to this government, to the United States, you think?
Yes, I think so. There's just not enough resources to really focus on Latin America, which has been good and for Latin America, and which is probably why the left will continue to win in Latin America.
Gregory Wilpert, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you very much. Likewise.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barr. There's late word from the White House that President Bush will hold a news conference in about an hour and a half. It comes on the heels of last night's speech from the Oval Office on Iraq. Mr. Bush says the U.S. must not abandon Iraq.
Do not give in to despair, and do not give up on this fight for freedom.
Critics such as this woman in New York say they aren't buying the argument that Iraq is a key in the war on terror.
Iraq and 9/11 are not the same thing. They never were. They never will be. Saddam Hussein was caught. Osama bin Laden is still at large. And I believe our president needs to answer why that's the reason.
After a bleary-eyed all-night session, the House finally passed a defense spending bill. ABC's Neen Norland has more.
The massive defense spending bill not only bankrolled the Pentagon, it also provided a way to allow drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Proponents of the Anwar drilling reasoned that most House members, regardless of their feelings about the war in Iraq, want to be seen as supporting the troops. So they added it to the defense bill. The legislation was approved by the House at 5 o'clock this morning and now goes to the Senate. Dean Orland, ABC News at the Capitol.
Your post office is pushing the envelope today.
This is Super Bowl week for postal workers. Today is the busiest mailing day of the year, with total mail volume expected to hit 900 million cards, letters, and packages. A lot of that will get to its destination Wednesday, the busiest delivery day of the year.
ABC's Pam Coulter. That's the sound of whistles at a New York City rally supporting striking transit union workers. Two private bus lines shut down early this morning, and it could get worse for bus and subway commuters. Union workers say unless there is a breakthrough in contract talks, a full-blown strike is planned by the end of tonight. The Indianapolis Colts, their season undefeated, has ended. They were beat by the Chargers yesterday. This is ABC News.
Hello?
Mama, there's tons of holiday traffic. Can you suggest an alternate route?
Oh, I better ask your father. Now, Howard!
To make your holiday travel go smoothly, you want TomTom, not Mom.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily move from car to car. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
Now through December 31st, get a $50 rebate. Learn more at TomTom.com. TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way.
As a bloodhound, I have a pretty good sense of smell. Right now, I can smell a 7-ounce filet with hollandaise sauce about 4 miles from here. Mmm, I love filet. I think I'll go see if they have any left over.
You don't think your dog will run away? Your dog might think differently. 1 in 3 pets will get lost. Without ID, 90% won't return home. That's why vets recommend the Home Again microchip, a safe, permanent ID that can bring your pet home. Talk to your vet about Home Again and visit homeagainpets.com.
Hurricane Katrina hasn't dampened the Christmas spirit in New Orleans. The city continues to rebuild with an annual holiday tradition.
For 6 decades, the people of New Orleans have set aside whatever differences they had to come together in Jackson Square and sing Christmas carols. But participants say the event took on special importance this year as a symbol of rebuilding.
I mean, you just can't sit back and hope. You have to take and move, initiate. If you initiate, things will happen.
Ron McDonald was one of hundreds of people who put down hammers and paintbrushes to pick up candles and songbooks and go caroling. Jim Ryan, ABC News, New Orleans.
An Arab American says he is using an unconventional way to stop being labeled as a possible terrorist just because of the way he looks. Ahmed Ahmed is using humor. The 35-year-old comedian says he conveys his feelings through jokes. In a stand-up routine, it starts out, "My name is Ahmed Ahmed and I can't fly." Michael Barr, ABC News.
Here's a check of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Tholston reporting. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Sears. In the news, a man is dead after a single vehicle crash in North St. Louis. Police say 51-year-old Albert Jones died around 11 o'clock Sunday morning after losing control of his pickup and crashing into a retaining wall near North Broadway and Calvary. Witnesses reported that Jones had been traveling at a high rate of speed. Two separate accidents on I-70 leave two pedestrians dead. Around 11:30 Friday night, 45-year-old Glenn McRoberts of O'Fallon was struck and killed while trying to cross eastbound I-70 near Highway K. Saturday morning around 6:45, 24-year-old Richard Duncan was killed as he tried to retrieve a ladder from a traffic lane on westbound I-70 at Earth City. In other news, two of the three children injured in last week's reservoir breach in Reynolds County are out of the hospital. 3-year-old Tara Toops and her 7-month-old brother Tucker were released yesterday. Their 5-year-old brother Tanner remains hospitalized in serious condition. The children's home was swept away last Wednesday after the breach at Ameren UE's Tom Salk Hydroelectric Plant. Donations to the family can be made to the Toops Benefit Fund at First State Community Bank, P.O. Box 168, Ironton, Missouri, 63650. Authorities say a Hillsborough man is in custody on charges that he shot and wounded his father, a Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy. Stephen Lockwood Jr. was arrested Friday afternoon at the apartment he shared with his father. Police say Lockwood had apparent self-inflicted injuries on his arms and was taken to a hospital and placed under guard. Lockwood is charged with first-degree assault, armed criminal action, stealing, and unlawful use of a weapon in last week's shooting. The suspect's father, Deputy Steve Lockwood, is expected to recover fully. And finally, members of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish say they'll move forward with plans to have Father Marek Bozek hold a Christmas Eve Mass. That, despite the fact that St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke has excommunicated Bozek and the parish's board of directors. Parish spokesman Richard Bach says he's appalled by that action. In a statement released Friday, Archbishop Raymond Burke says the decision to excommunicate the board and Father Bozek stems from their refusal to, quote, accept the governance of the parish by the Roman Catholic Church, end quote. St. Stanislaus priests were removed last year after the board refused to turn over financial control to the archdiocese. And that's a report of WGNU News. It was brought to you by Sears. Finish big this holiday. There's still time to get all the biggest gifts this holiday season. Find tools, home appliances, holiday fashions, and more. Wish big at Sears. Reporting for WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. With a look at this hour's traffic and weather, this hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Northbound 170 is scuttered. There's an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic jams at 70. Westbound 70 at Adelaide, there's an accident on the entrance ramp. The westbound 70 is reportedly blocked as well. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and Blanchett Bridge, everything's flowing freely. Eastbound 40 between Vallis and Lindbergh, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270, expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 at 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at 79, that's... you have slow volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, it is slow. Eastbound
westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at 170, look for heavy volume going on there. Southbound 170 between 270 and Scudder, vehicles are slowing to take a look at the accident. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for heavy volume. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 61 between 40 and 47, road construction has left lane closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Rhodes Furniture is closing forever on December 28th in Baldwin, St. Peter's, and Hazelwood. Last chance to name your own price. Nothing reasonable will be refused. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 20s. Today, this evening, mostly clear, low around 15. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 17 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting sunshine and 18, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 8. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And, check out the website at lizbrown.com. We're streamed there. We're also streamed at wgnu.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I just want to share this story with you before we get to our guest, and then just try to get you to where we are. Oh, we had Congress last night working into the wee hours. I don't feel sorry for them. They are well paid. Imagine getting to vote yourself a pay raise whenever you want on. They are well paid and well taken care of. But we have to look at what it is that they are doing. Buried inside the defense spending bill is an effort to drill for oil in Alaska. You pull most Americans, and we're talking about in wildlife preserves. You talk to most Americans, and most Americans are opposed to it. So how do they do it? They sneak and do it. It's not the only thing that they are sneaking and doing. I want to talk for a minute this morning about a plan by FCC Chair Martin that might end up costing 16 million of us, costing 16 million of the most vulnerable of us. $400 million. We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, I am happy to welcome to the show the president of Civil Society Institute, joining us from near Boston, Pam Solo. Pam, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Outstanding. Okay, I say every morning on my show, you know, are you scared yet? They're all, every day, there's a headline out there, a heads up, and a headline that says that we should be paying attention to something. Tell us about what's going on with our federal phone taxes.
What I'm involved in is a campaign for greater fuel efficiency. So I don't know
okay.
if you've connected us up on the wrong issue, but we're concerned to try to get federal standards up to 40 miles per gallon so that we can reduce our dependence on foreign oil and reduce carbon emissions that are the cause of global warming.
Okay, well, then let's have that conversation, because my understanding of it is that we were going to be talking about the Federal Communications Commission. But talk to us about that issue.
Sure. Well, I wish I knew something about the other thing. But what we've done is some research, public opinion research on fuel efficiency and public attitudes toward conservation and windfall profits tax of the oil companies who are making an enormous profit at the expense of the American people. And we've also found that there are over 120 cars that are available in Europe that are fuel efficient, so 35, some to 60 miles per gallon, that are made by U.S. automakers that are not available to American consumers. So here we are, you know, at war in Iraq, in some senses over oil, And there are alternatives that would protect our national security, making us less dependent, as well as reducing the emissions that cause global warming.
So the resistance to this, how do you characterize the resistance to this?
Well, I think Detroit is sort of lacks imagination and real leadership. And the federal government, the White House in particular, is not listening to consumer demand. And unfortunately, there are too many people who are self-interested in the government, I think, at this point, who have, you know, pretty strong connections to the oil industry.
How do you evaluate the consumer interest in this? My understanding of it is that almost every American has an SUV.
Well, I think that when the SUVs were first brought on the market, the automakers anticipated that they would be about 5% of the market interest, and now they're well over half, 52%. And a lot of those are, you know, suburban housewives who really don't need that kind of vehicle. And I think people are now realizing that they're, you know, gas guzzlers, that they're a major contributor to greenhouse gases, and that they're expensive. And I think people are realizing, connecting the dots between war for oil, global warming, and that there are alternatives. So I think that the market demands are actually beginning to shift now.
Do we, when you said a few minutes ago that there's a resistance with the car manufacturers, I don't get it. How could there be a resistance when we're seeing the loss of 30,000 jobs and GM alone, when we're seeing Ford cut jobs back, saying that consumer demand is not there? Why would they be resistant to this if consumers' interest is now headed in this direction? I think that we've lost her. All right. Well, we will. Let's take a quick break. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get back to us. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with us.
Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. New Year's just ain't New Year's without the one you love. Underneath the mistletoe I saw a face all aglow last year this time.
It's impossible to accurately describe the horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenage girls unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, this is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
On the hills of Georgia, across the plains of Tennessee, seen and I've done most everything that a man can do to see. Be on a train tomorrow. I'd be home on Christmas Day.
Well, Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We lost our guest. Technical difficulties. Holiday gremlins, probably. I think that's what it is. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fact. We're going to be doing open lines for the rest of this hour. You need to get up. You need to get to me at 454-0400, 1-877-920. We have much, much, much to talk about. A couple of stories that I want to share with you that caught my interest and caught my concern over the weekend, over the holidays. A senior at University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, was visited by federal agents 2 months ago. He's not really this senior. This, what is he, 21-year-old? Not even a 21-year-old, maybe a 20-year-old. He has not released his name, and he's not going to because he's scared. He was visited by federal agents. And understand, these are Homeland Security agents. This doesn't sound like something out of a very scary movie. We're not even calling them FBI agents anymore. They're Homeland Security agents. But he was visited by these agents 2 months ago. Why? Because he requested a copy of Mao Zedong's book on communism called The Little Red Book. Two history professors at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth said that the student told them he requested the book through the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth's Library Interlibrary Loan Program. The student was completing a research paper on communism for one of his professor's classes, a class on fascism and totalitarianism. He filled out a form for the request. He left his name, he left his address, he left his phone number, and he left his social security number. I would have never left my social security number. But he did. He was later visited at his parents' home by two agents of the Department of Homeland Security. The agents told the student that the book is on a watch list and that his background, the student's background, that he had traveled abroad a lot, triggered them to investigate the student further. Unbelievable. You should be concerned about this story on a number of different levels. One, that they knew that he traveled abroad a lot. How'd they know that? How'd they find out that he traveled abroad a lot? You get that from your social security number? What were they allowed to look into to find out about him? To learn that he travels abroad a lot? Just think about that. Now, y'all know that I travel because you listen to me talk about it on the radio. How does the federal government, what database does the federal government look into to find out what it is that we do? Do they call the FAA, run this name through the database, and see what happens? So they came to him, and understand, okay, first, that they knew that he traveled abroad a lot because they looked and they found out. Secondly, when in America does reading a book in college trigger anything? How scary is that? That the Department of Homeland Security that hasn't found Osama bin Laden, that the best thing that they're known for is trying to scare the crap out of you with orange, red, and green that they never gave us, alerts. That they hire people that gun people down in airports and then lie and say the person said they had a bomb. I mean, what has Homeland Security done successfully for you that would allow them to raise questions in any real way about their concerns about a book? We live in America, and a $1 trillion agency formed by George W. Bush is out harassing students in college because of books that they order from the library. Are you scared yet? Ordering a book at college puts you on a watch list. And how did the government know what book you ordered? Did any of you see the movie Conspiracy Theory with, what's the boy, Julia Roberts and, what's the boy's name? You know, the boy from, the Danny Glover movie, Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. He would go out and buy Catcher in the Rye, lots and lots of copies of Catcher in the Rye, and the bad guys were hooked into the... And this was back before 9/11. This was back before George W. Bush, when he was out there still failing in business and falling off couches on his own time. This was before all of that. This is a movie that suggested that the government, you go to Barnes & Noble, you buy a book, and if you buy a certain book, it goes into the government's database. Well, welcome home. He ordered the book from a library at a university, and the government found out what book it was that he ordered. So just know that there's a keystroke somewhere. Somewhere in the Dartmouth, or the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth, there's a keystroke that goes somewhere that lights up a switch somewhere in the bowels of the $1 trillion Homeland Security Department that says someone in America is ordering this book. We need to go investigate them. Oh, they're good at hunting us down, ain't they? They good at that. But somebody calls and says that Osama bin Laden's going to be using planes to crash into buildings. They ignore that crap. But you try to order a copy of the Little Red Book, oh, they own you. They own you. You a risk. Jesus. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. The professors are part of the group saying, you know what, I don't think we need to renew these provisions of the Patriot Act. I'm asking y'all, what do you think? The Little Red Book, by the way, is a collection of quotations and speeches from Chinese leader Mao Zedong. And apparently, our government doesn't want us to read it. And that's something. This is America, right? Right? I'll be back. A turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard sleeping tonight. They know that
sad. Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WPNU. I'm Howard Walsh with the Solid Traffic Weather. Solid Traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture's closing sale. Northbound 55 at Loughborough, a truck is on shoulder after an Ashland fire is out now, but there may be some back out. Northbound 170 Scudder and Ashland is cleared, and traffic is now leaving by. Westbound 70 at Adelaide, that's actually cleared as well. Southbound 170 at Scudder, although the way to reopen that one earlier, actually, is moving.
traffic jam still at 270. Eastbound 70 at Sunbelt and 94. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 from Riverview to New Forest. Look for traffic to be easing. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 at the 14th Street and the last Missouri exit, the Broadway exit. Look for maintenance operations. The right lane is closed. Westbound 40 at Hanley slows in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road in Cypress. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And Clayton at Skinker, those traffic lights are working incorrectly. Elm Point at Elm Street, there's an overturned vehicle that's out in St. Charles. And westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. The right lane will be closed. The Broadway ramp to westbound 40 is also closed for maintenance work. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Rhodes Furniture is closing forever December 28th in Baldwin, St. Peter's, and Hazelwood. Last chance to name your own price. Nothing reasonable will be refused. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, a high in the upper 20s. This evening, mostly clear, low around 15. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have a brisk 16 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 15, and the wind chill still makes it feel like it's 7 degrees outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, the concept of becoming a nonopreneur. How can you develop your own successful micro small business? What are the ways for achieving positive results and positive cash flows? Where do you go to get ideas? If you're fed up with struggling to make ends meet and are ready to go to work for yourself, then you need to catch Michael Brooks, strategic marketing consultant and founder of the Small Biz Games that salute the top 100 home-based businesses in the world. He's our special guest on the final 2005 edition of Mondays at 9.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Fiction, classics,
what to get for the person who has everything.
Mystery, horror.
Bargain Books has 50,000 Christmas gifts for under $20.
Westerns, Zane Grey.
Books and more books, plus videos, magazines, and even DVDs.
Mythology, psychology.
Open 7 days a week. 20% discount on Sundays. Mention WGNU and get a free book.
Travel.
Bargain Books at Godfrey Bookstore, 5735 Godfrey Road in Godfrey, Illinois, across from Lewis and Clark College.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky, 10 parsecs, which is really high. Helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom. By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
It's impossible to accurately describe the horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenaged girls unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, This is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I know you know this. They've been checking on people all for a long time. I'm 68 now, and my father was, I guess he was working at a foundry or something like that, and he was in the union, and they would go from state to state. They would go to Chicago, New York, on union business. So my brother went in service first, and he retired and had an honorable discharge. I was working at a government place before I went into the service. I didn't really want to go. And so I joined the Air Force. So everything was okay. And I was at a SAC base. That's like Strategic Air Command. No women except nurses. So I was put on some kind of rescue team. And that meant I would have to go on the airfield. And I had to have a clearance to do that. So they went all in my file, I guess, and they brought up about my father being in the union and some kind of book called Costello, involving somebody named Costello. And they had a secretary in there, and they had me. This guy who was doing the investigation, I don't know whether he was in service or not. He was in plain clothes. And then they had a secretary, and then they wrote all that stuff up and typed it up and asked me to sign it. And I read it, and it was a little something in there that I didn't like to be in there. So I told him, no, I'm not going to sign that. And so he went and got somebody like a colonel to come into the room, and he asked me to sign it again. I still wouldn't sign it. And he took it out, and I signed it. And I got my pass to go on, you know, the flight line. So who is Costello? I don't know what kind of book it was. I think something was going on Congress when you tried to join the union. So they know all about you.
But if they know everything about you, they know that communism isn't about unionism.
Yeah.
They know
that. But that's what they say, you know.
That's fact. Here's the thing. Here's the scary part, Al. I get that the military investigates its own. I get that.
Right.
And I get that because there are a lot of rights that you
and
get.
That's okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying that there are a lot of rights that you give up when you become part of the military.
Right.
We're not talking.
We don't have to sign anything.
Well, I mean, I think by taking the oath, you're giving a different kinds of allegiance, and you agree that you will be tried under military law. You agree to a whole lot of things that the average citizen doesn't give up and doesn't have to live by. I mean, I can say anything I want to about George W. Bush, and I'm not going to be court-martialed to lose my, you know.
Right.
So there are all kinds of things that you agree to give up as a result of taking the oath to the military and taking the oath and being part of the military. I get that they will investigate you. Right. But this, we're not talking about anybody in the military. We're talking about an American citizen, a student, that ordered a book from their
right.
library.
Right.
That's a scary thing, that was a trigger that went off somewhere when a student, imagine all the students that are, one of the professors said, oh my God, I told my students to go investigate Al-Qaeda right. websites this professor was saying, I've ordered my students as part of their assignments right. to go investigate Al-Qaeda websites and then write papers on them. Imagine what kind of danger I've put my students in, because I'm sure they're in some databases right now because of assignments that I've given them. So just think about the chilling effect on educators. How do educators in the United States educate students when they're scared to tell them?
Everybody's in trouble because they got records on anybody. My father never was in no military. He was in the Union.
They didn't have the internet then, and they didn't have the, they didn't have
right.
And also they got in trouble back then.
Well,
they
found out about him, and they didn't have no internet.
But no. My point is that you can, in the 30s, in the 40s, mm-hmm. in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s,
yeah.
you could get in trouble for things like that. There would be elected officials that were outraged about that. In fact, there were laws that were passed in 1978 to prevent what George Bush is doing right now,
yeah.
and he's still breaking the law. It's scarier than it was back when your
right,
dad.
Right, right. It's worse.
Yes, it
but
is.
They didn't do anything to me. They just... They even gave me my flight.
Now let me ask you something, Alan. We got to take a break.
Okay.
If they had a state, if you were in the military in the year 2005,
yeah.
and you're the same age that you were back then, and they put a piece of paper in front of you with another lie in it this time and told you that you had to sign, let me ask you: in the year 2005, you think they would have taken anything out of that?
I don't know, because no. I think you got certain rights. You don't have, nobody can make you sign anything.
All right, now, Al.
They can beat you upside the head.
Al,
yeah, they can do that.
Al, you
but
think
they didn't
that,
do
you
that
think you think in day. The you think in the year 2005, where we are snatching human beings off the planet Earth,
yeah.
taking them to places and putting them in secret prisons where
mm-hmm.
they are tortured, their
right,
body
right.
parts
You're
are put.
Yeah.
So my question is, do you think that they would have let you not sign that paper and then given you what you got? Today, do you think they would have?
Being me,
I'm not saying that you would have signed it. I'm not asking whether you would have
yeah.
signed it. I'm asking.
Right, they'll do anything now.
All right, that's my point.
Yeah,
that's
do anything.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
All right, now, Al, thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
Horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenage girls, unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, this is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, London.
In one of last week's editions of The Guardian, it was reported that Donald Rumsfeld went to extreme lengths to make sure that a company he worked for in the 70s got approval to market an artificial sweetener. In 1977, Rumsfeld was chief executive of the G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company, which came up with aspartame by accident during a lab experiment. There was much concern about the safety of the sweetener at the time, but Rumsfeld called in favors from a number of people that owed him in order to get the substance licensed for distribution to the public. Whatever he did, he managed to have it avoid extensive unbiased research testing to get it to the marketplace. It is known that one of the first things Ronald Reagan did when he was installed in January of 1981 was to write a letter to the Food and Drug Administration that put aspartame beyond their reach to approve. Several weeks later, Reagan fired the FDA director and then hired a new head who gave the substance agency approval. Two other studies on the product were heavily manipulated. One clearly showed it produced tumors in rats, but then the tumors were surgically removed, and it was then reported in the study that the rats had no tumors. Another study had a rat who was fed the substance as being alive, then dead, then alive again, and then dead again. As of this year, it's used in some 6,000 products from soft drinks to gum. Last week, a member of the British Parliament called for emergency action to ban aspartame from the British food market because of its questionable safety. He even went so far as to say there was compelling and reliable evidence that it was indeed a cancer-causing agent. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Relax with an old friend. Janet Jimenez shares places and spaces with you at WGNU.net.
Aw, are you thirsty?
If you're a cat owner, you should know subtle behavioral changes can sometimes be early signs of illness.
Wow, you really need a brushing.
Signs like increased thirst or decreased grooming can be easy to miss. That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year to help prevent health problems before they become serious. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Next on Mondays at 9, the concept of becoming a nanopreneur. How can you develop your own successful micro-small business? What are the ways for achieving positive results and positive cash flows? Where do you go to get ideas? If you're fed up with struggling to make ends meet and are ready to go to work for yourself, then you need to catch Michael Brooks, strategic marketing consultant and founder of the Small Biz Games that salute the top 100 home-based businesses in the world. He's our special guest on the final 2005 edition of Mondays at 9.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, my turn?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Liz, you're doing a fine job. Last night, 60 Minutes had excerpts from
Condoleezza Rice's walk through foreign countries, and she was denying that they had secret places where they had people to interrogate, torture, and stuff. And they showed Bush jumping on the press because they had told about these secret places, and then they showed the itinerary of all these planes and where they were going. And it was horrible.
If you could turn your radio down, that would be great. The 60 Minutes special was on was whether or not this country actually took people to snatch people up.
The 60 Minutes special was on.
Whether they snatched people up and took them to secret prisons to torture them. They found one man who was tortured for 5 months, an auto dealer from Germany who's Muslim, and they tortured him. And then they also had a former member of the CIA interviewed who's created the program under Clinton. They didn't have a country to torture the people in under Clinton. They found the countries under Bush, and the CIA agent, or this ex-CIA agent, was awfully scary when asked the question of whether or not this was problematic. He said he didn't think it was problematic at all if you torture people to get the information out of it. Yes, it was a very scary thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, sister?
Good morning, Peter.
You know, I was just listening again to this thing that had to do with the artificial sweetener. And as Rumsfeld was taking part in making it possible for this drug to avoid the scrutiny that the FDA takes drugs through, this is really a horrific crime, I would like to say. And also, what did that make Martha Stewart look like for what she went to jail for? This brings in all sorts of implications because of the drug did hit the market, that means that stock was highly favorable, and a lot of people won on that stock. And when you have a lot of people win, you have a lot of people lose.
The question also is does Rumsfeld own any of that stock?
And he probably does.
If he was a CEO, he had to have gotten some stock from that. If he was a CEO, he probably has some kind of pension coming from them. As a CEO, he's got to have something.
He has to have options.
Yeah.
Because stock look, the option is going to be worth more.
Yeah.
I think that the Reagan estate should be attacked, too, if he knowingly done what he knowing at the capacity that he has. That suit should spread into his existing estate right now, especially that new library they just built. Tear it down and sell it brick for brick.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It's like the crookedism just never stops. Majority Leader Bill Frist had a charity for AIDS, right? Out of that charity, he paid nearly $500,000 in consulting fees. And looky, looky, good, you know, what are the odds? The consulting fees went to members of his political inner circle and relatives. They called it a world of hope, hopping on the AIDS bandwagon. The world of hope raised $4.4 million from not one, not two, not three, but just from 18 sources. $4 million. Only 18 people gave him money. When they asked the lawyer that represents the company whether or not he would give the names of the 18 major donors, what are the odds? The lawyer said, I'm not giving any names. Now, who's this lawyer? Well, this lawyer's last name is Vogel. His full name is Alex Vogel. Alex Vogel's wife, Judith Holtzman Vogel, check this out. She wants to be a United States Senator. Check this out. Her law firm received quite a bit of money, around $400,000 to the law firm, to the woman who was the wife of the attorney for Bill Friss and a woman who's going to be running for a United States Senate seat. These guys have no shame. They have no shame. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. All kinds of money. They use the money from an AIDS program. They have no shame. They have no shame. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barr. President Bush is expected to hold a news conference within the hour. It's a good bet Iraq and domestic spying will be brought up. ABC's Ann Compton has more from the White House.
President Bush will stand amid the Christmas trees in the White House East Room for a final news conference of 2005, now that Congress is finishing its work and the Iraqi elections are complete. No issue is more sensitive than his admission that he ordered secret wiretaps on some Americans talking to Al-Qaeda suspects, despite laws that require a court order. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The news conference comes on the heels of last night's presidential address. ABC's Jessica Yellen has more.
In a rare Oval Office address, President Bush tried to persuade doubting Americans victory in Iraq is attainable.
My fellow citizens, not only can we win the war in Iraq, we are winning the war in Iraq.
He made the familiar case that success there is essential to protecting Americans at home.
The need for victory is larger than any president or political party, because the security of our people is in the balance.
And he suggested some troops could come home soon, but insisted pulling all troops out now would be the biggest mistake he could make.
After an all-nighter, the House approved a bill that clears the way for oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Big Apple could be crippled by a transit union strike. New York bus and subway workers are threatening to go on a full citywide strike by the end of the night if a new contract isn't reached. Bus drivers on two private lines already walked off the job. Striking bus driver Jerry Greenhouse.
We're not looking to be rich. We're not, but we certainly want to be able to afford food and clothes for our kids.
According to the Lundberg survey, gas prices rose an average of about 8 cents. That's the first increase in about 3 months. This is ABC News.
Hello?
Mom, there's tons of holiday traffic. Can you suggest an alternate route?
Oh, I better ask your father. Now, Howard!
To make your holiday travel go smoothly, you want TomTom, not Mom.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily move from car to car. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
Now through December 31st, get a $50 rebate. Learn more at TomTom.com. TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way.
As a bloodhound, I have a pretty good sense of smell. Right now, I can smell a 7-ounce filet with hollandaise sauce about 4 miles from here. Mmm, I love filet. I think I'll go see if they have any left over.
You don't think your dog will run away? Your dog might think differently. One in three pets will get lost. Without ID, 90% won't return home. That's why vets recommend the Home Again microchip, a safe, permanent ID that can bring your pet home. Talk to your vet about Home Again and visit homeagainpets.com.
It's considered the busiest day of the year for postal employees. ABC's Pam Coulter is at a post office in Washington.
This lady was out before dawn to drop her bills in the mailbox. She doesn't plan to send out her holiday cards and packages until after Christmas.
It's been a big rush for a while already. I came in once and the lines were so long I didn't wait.
Postal workers braced for 900 million cards, letters, and packages today. Wednesday is D-Day, the biggest delivery day of the year. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is expected to be out of a hospital by tomorrow. Sharon suffered a mild stroke yesterday. Aides say Sharon is able to walk and can take a shower without help. He was in those Ragu sauce commercials delivering the line, "That's a nice." Singer Enzo Suarti has died of heart failure. The Italian tenor performed on Broadway and at New York's Carnegie Hall. Stuarty was 86. Michael Barr, ABC News.
And here's this hour's check of WGNU News. This report is brought to you by International Star Registry. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services reports flu season has officially begun. The department is reporting the first lab-confirmed flu cases for the 2005-2006 winter season. Brian Quinn with the health department urges everyone to get their flu shots and to wash their hands regularly with soap and hot water to help prevent the spread of illness. Quinn also recommends using a paper towel to turn on the faucet or to open the door in public restrooms. According to health department statistics, about 3,000 Missourians die each year from the flu. You may want to think twice before buying your kids a violent video game this holiday season. A new study indicates a link between those violent games and a person's behavior. Ruth Bartholow, an assistant professor of psychological sciences at the University of Missouri, says the study found violent video game players are desensitized to other images of violence. The study also found that those same subjects exhibited violent behavior while playing a test game. And in other holiday news, Anheuser-Busch is urging people to be responsible this holiday season and to use a designated driver. Carol Clark, a spokesperson for the beer giant, says the greatest gift you can give someone is to serve as their designated driver and make sure they get home safely. She says winter roads are dangerous enough with ice and snow, and there's no reason to make the roads even less safe by drinking and driving. Anheuser-Busch's annual survey shows that more than 146 million people have been or have used a designated driver. And finally, members of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish are continuing to react to the news that St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke has excommunicated Father Marek Bozek and the board of directors of the parish. Plans continue, nonetheless, for a Christmas Eve Mass. Richard Bach, a spokesperson for the parish, says this is all because the archbishop wants the parish's more than $1 million in finances.
And this is at a time when he is closing down numerous parishes and churches in the St. Louis area. And what is happening with those funds is in question.
A statement from Archbishop Raymond Burke says this issue is not about money, but about the fact that the parish refuses, quote, to accept the governance of the parish by the Roman Catholic Church, end quote. St. Stanislaus priests were removed last year after the board refused to turn over financial control to the archdiocese. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by International Star Registry. This holiday season, give an amazing gift that will last a lifetime. Name a star after someone. To order, visit starregistry.com or call 1-800-282-3333. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Eastbound 70 at 79 in Blanchett with where everything be running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Brentwood, nothing to report there. Eastbound 44 from 109 to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and 170, everything is freeing up this hour. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44 looks good. Eastbound 40 between 14th and the last Missouri exit. Look for bridge maintenance operations having the right lane closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway exit, that ramp is also closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Westbound 40 between St. Louis Science Center and Hanley, that traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, nothing to report. Clayton at Skinker, those lights are working incorrectly. Elm Point at Elm Street, there's an overturned vehicle in St. Charles. Baxter, Clayton, there's a disabled vehicle. North Broadway at East Taylor, there's a report of an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. TomTom is your portable GPS solution. It's perfect whether you're stuck in holiday traffic or for a holiday gift. Right now, get a $50 holiday rebate on TomTom Go GPS, available at Best Buy, Circuit City, and other fine retailers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 15. Tuesday, partly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 20. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy, the high should reach around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 16 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 16 as well, with the wind chill making it a brisk 6 degrees outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Boom, 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 boom.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Holiday gremlins again. I apologize. The show for our Mondays at 9, we're having technical difficulties with that show this morning. I apologize. What does that mean for you? That means the good news is that there is a whole hour for open lines. So give us a call at 1-877-920-WGNU or 314-454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. There is so much stuff to talk about. I see you on the lines. I see y'all on the lines. I will get to you all. I promise you. Let me do this. Let me get to you all. Betty Lou, good morning.
Hi, Liz.
How are you?
They talk about St. Stanislaus all the time.
Yes, ma'am.
But they never mention the fact that you remember the Spinks brothers, and they had that little recreation center in our neighborhood.
Yes, ma'am.
Where they went to learn, I guess, I don't know what kids do there.
Okay.
But anyhow, St. Stanislaus bought that building, you know.
Okay.
And they fenced it around, and but we weren't allowed in the church.
Okay.
So now,
when you say we weren't allowed in the church, what does that mean? What does that mean? That black people?
We black people were not allowed.
And when we're not allowed in the church, what does that mean? Does that mean that the black people couldn't go worship at the church? Are you saying
that? No, they couldn't.
When was this?
Well, let's see. I never did go, but our deaconess went there, and she came back to church. And of course, we're Lutheran, and she came back to church, and she told us that they had a security guard to escort her from the building.
And what was the explanation?
They just didn't want black people in the church. That's been what I've heard for years down in here.
Okay.
So you reap what you sow. A burr is a black man. Maybe they're trying to tell them something.
A burr is a black man. Explain.
He's a black a Catholic priest or whatever you call him. I don't know what he is. I'm not Catholic.
He's not black?
He is black. Well, what is he?
Who? You're talking about Archbishop? He's not black.
Well, who is that black guy they sent here?
He wasn't sent here. There was a priest of African descent that was in the Belleville area. He's no longer there. He's in another part of the country. I think it's Gregory.
Gregory?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who is Burr?
Burr is the Archbishop.
Well, he was here.
Burke. It's Burke.
Burke.
Yes.
Okay, he was here.
He is here. He's not black?
Well, he looks black to me.
Well, he's not.
Well, appearances are deceiving.
Yep, clearly. That's not a black man. Not a black man.
Well, one thing about it, I've heard so much about the church, I was afraid, you know, to go there, you know, just to visit. But they reap what they sow.
Well, if Stanislaus kept black people out of the church because they were black, shame on him, and that's a sin against God.
Well, that's true, and that's what I say.
I haven't confirmed that. I just have you saying that to me. I would have to check on that to see if
I've heard many ministers say that it's about the $9 million.
Yeah, of course, that's what does that have to do with black people? Of course, it's about the money.
Absolutely. I'm thinking it's about a little more than that.
It's about the money. Burke wants that money, and they're not giving him the money. Of course it's about the money.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely it's about the money.
Okay. Well, what triggered, if you know.
Yes, ma'am.
What triggered the Civil War in this country?
Money and enslavement.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about money all the time. It wasn't about freedom and equality.
People of African descent were not freed as a result of the Civil War. They were not freed as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation. No, ma'am. You know what a good book is to read is a book by, Lerone Bennett. I will think of it. But it's a great book about how people of African descent were not freed by Abraham Lincoln. It's a wonderful book.
Okay, then. Well, I always heard that it wasn't. I heard when I was a kid that we're not free now. But I heard that we were freed in a sense because when the North defeated the South, the whites couldn't afford to, keep the blacks anymore.
Okay, and I've got a roll, but thank you, Betty Lou. 4540400 is my phone number. Z, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm glad the lady came on before me. I have a true story with the Catholic Church. My mom was employed as a parochial school teacher when my sister and I were young. And this weekend we were in Vegas. She took us there to see, Tom Jones. While we were talking...
Wait a minute. Y'all went to see Tom Jones?
Uh-huh.
How was it?
Girl!
Was it good?
He ain't doing nothing but, Wycliffe John. He has nothing but black backup.
You're kidding me!
Oh, my goodness. And his fro, he looked like he had a fro. But
he always looked like he had a fro.
Right. But in his 70s, he doesn't look it. And then we went to Siegfried and Roy's house. But anyway, getting back to the Sacred Heart Church in Florissant, my mother was a parochial school teacher there.
Yes, ma'am.
They would not allow my sister and I to attend. She just told me that this week, and I said, you should never have told me. I'm calling somebody.
So how was she? She was a teacher?
Yes.
How did they let her teach and didn't let her children in?
I don't know.
Because usually it's the other way around.
No, ma'am. That's all my mother, my grandmother, my sister, and my aunt. They all worked at the same Catholic school during this time period. But no, she said, I should never have told you. I said, you sure shouldn't have. Because I'm calling somebody, and I can't believe it. She worked at Sacred Heart. It's in Florissant, Missouri, and they would not allow, in the 60s, they would not allow my sister and I to attend.
Outrageous. Absolutely.
What can I do? Can I do anything?
Well, what can you do? Expose them?
Yeah.
Expose them?
About reparations or something?
Well, you know, that's the issue of reparations is so much deeper than it's the legacy of enslavement is results in acts like that. And the cost of reparations serves to, or that the theory of the cost of reparations, the payment of reparations, serves to attempt to compensate people for something like that. And the challenge is that, first of all, how do you compensate someone for something like that?
That the gas that she used to have to take my sister and I to another school to pick us up when it would have been more, you know.
Did you go to a blacker school? Were your mom?
We've always attended Catholic school.
So were there more black kids in the place?
Yes.
Then I think that God protected you. I think that that's a good thing to go to school with other kids, other black kids.
Sure.
As opposed to being the only black kid in the classroom.
I doubt that. My sister graduated from Rosada, Xavier, when it was there. And I went to Aquinas out on Dunn Road eventually. But I just thought that there was something, you know. Exposure is good. That's a good thing. Channel 5 is good, something like that. But, no, we went to see Tom Jones, and he's got these all-black backup singers and this 10-piece orchestra. It was great. It was $70 a ticket. It was over 500 people in the room. He's there for 6 nights. And, of course, he has a body. He showed that. And they were throwing the thongs on the stage, of course, and it was great.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
When you went to, in the 60s, what were you in, like, grade school or high school or...
Well, eventually, well, in 64, I went on to St. Thomas Aquinas, which was high school.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions. When you went
sure.
to St. Thomas Aquinas, what were the black-white population?
Oh, most of the blacks came in from Kinloch, and it was like maybe 10%.
10% black folks. You know what I think what would be interesting, Z? I think it would be interesting to have a reunion with as many of the graduates as you can, a black
okay.
folks, just the black folks,
okay.
and talk about, find out, do kind of like a thermometer, a measurement of how much into the community the graduates from your school are.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you something else. My mom graduated from Webster College, which was an all-girl Catholic high school. And she stayed in Nunix Hall, and they would not let her have her graduation there.
What,
she had to go have it downtown.
How many other black kids were at Nunix with her?
I think she only speaks of one other female.
And, again, the issue to me, the question for me is, what does that do to people of African descent to go to school at such a formative age, being in the minority like that? And I think it would be a fascinating thing to catch up with the graduates of your school, the black graduates, the people of African descent, and see what their connection to their community is.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, try
Thank
that.
You.
All right,
okay.
Take care.
Bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing? This is Jesse Todd, 18th Ward Committee Man.
Jesse Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling. I did check on the, retirement, you know, building where they are taking that $2 million that they are wasting on that retirement building.
Yes, sir.
And I talked with the retiree leader, and she was, you know, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that 5 employees and 4 board members, but what has changed are on that board. But what has changed that is that make the retiree system vulnerable is that instead of the board members sitting on the board from now on, they can appoint someone from the outside to sit on the board.
Goodbye to your pension fund as you know it.
Right, and so in my opinion.
So now they can get Enron people on the board, right?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. They can get Enron, they can get SNL type people.
Yes, they can.
They can get $1 billion. They can get Roberta.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was set
so
up
why
by
was,
this administration.
Well, why is this building, why is this $2 million building being built? What's the justification for that?
Liz, there's no justification.
Now, what did they say to you was the justification?
She just had to admit, Liz, after I quizzed her.
I don't want to know how she changed her mind. I want to know what she said to you before she came around to your way of thinking. What did she say?
What she said was that, well, they voted for it. And I said, well, and she said, just told me they voted for it. I said, well, why did they vote for it? She couldn't give, and so she was just trying to.
What's the building going to be used for?
She said, she was saying they needed it. I asked her, what are they using it for? Because I went downtown on 7th Street, Liz.
No, Jesse, I don't want to go there yet. I want to know what she said. What did she say that the building was being used
for?
She
wouldn't give me an answer, Liz. She didn't tell me what it's going to be used for. She just said it would be the office for the retirement office building. And she didn't say who would be in it, what would be in it. All she said is it would be used for the retirement office. No, she didn't say how many people. She didn't say what, you know, anything that it would be used for. She didn't give me any concrete information, period.
Okay.
And so what I did was I went downtown. They already have a retirement building, Liz, on 7th and Washington. So I took it upon myself to go into the building. I mean, this is a huge building. So my first question is, if you already have a retirement building, what are you doing getting another one? That's the first thing. Secondly, since the board is part of the retirement building, they already have a brand new building on 911 North, I think it's 9th Street. So they already have a building. They already closed one down, another office building on Enright and Boyle. They closed that office building. I mean, that's a vacant building, so they all have all, so the answer she gave wasn't an answer. All she did was said at the end when we finished talking, she said, well, according to her, one of the people said that it's a done deal, because I was asking her, can the decision be rescinded? And according to her, the answer was no. So basically, that's what.
Well, have you talked to other teachers out there? Have you talked to other retired people out there, other people that are relying upon this soon-to-be evaporated teacher's retirement fund?
I have not. I have retirees living in the ward. What I'm going to do, Liz, is get out and talk to these people personally. I have not had an opportunity yet.
When's the next retirement board meeting?
That will be in. In fact, I have a list here. I think it will be. It will be in February. In fact,
that might be too late. I would get as many people together as I could and go down to the go down there, and I would raise Cain. I would absolutely. I mean, talk about it. You paid for it. Talk about it. You paid for it. That's insane. That is an absolute insane thing. Why they would need a $2 million building? Why would you need a $2 million building?
There's absolutely no reason.
You need to call all kinds of pieces of the media and raise Cain about this. You need to raise Cain about this. It's a waste of money.
That's just the best example. You just said it, Liz. It's a waste of money. And that $2 million is not something that some free money, because no money is free. Money always comes from some source. And
I would get a bunch of teachers together. I would get a bunch of retirees together, and I'd go down and I'd go to some of the television folks. I would definitely do that.
I'm going to absolutely do that, Liz. So again, thank you very much for bringing it up on your show. And I will be working on it. And thank you so much.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
About that, two or three things I wanted to speak about. But about that retiree thing, I think the last person who was the executive director was part of that. And she moved to Arizona. And they are building a new house, blah, 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 blah. But anyhow, she's gone. But I wanted, I sent you an email about my going into Snooks Wednesday before last at night and the place smelling so bad.
Mm-hmm.
About the, you could smell rotten meat or something. So the people, I spoke to somebody else about it during the week, and they said they'd gone in on another day. So I'm saying to the people, because what I didn't go to buy meat. It was something that I needed to put in something I was making, but it wasn't about to be meat. Oh, I know what it was. I wanted to get something because we were going to have snow the next day, and I didn't want to be without some bread and some juice. And so that's the reason why I stopped. Otherwise, I don't stop there. But anyhow, I wanted people to be aware, and this person told me, said, we believe that they are bringing in now the rotten meat and the day-old meat. The meat is too old to be sold in the other communities out west. They're bringing it back to the stores in the city, and the people need to be aware of that. And the other thing that I was going to, there were three things I wanted to talk to you about. What is that third one? Who was the first thing you were talking about this morning about Bush?
I can't remember, Miss Lindsay. I've got to take a break, but thanks for your call.
All right, then. You have a wonderful holiday.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free. I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score when you sign up for a 30-day credit monitoring trial at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
What are you and your loved ones giving each other this holiday season?
Oh.
not what you were hoping for? Strengthen your defenses with clinically proven Ester C, a vitamin C that works in your immune system for 24 hours, helping strengthen your immune protection until you take it again, no matter what you're exposed to. Get Advanced Protection Ester C and have a happy, healthy holiday season.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
Every weekend, your gospel voice of choice can be found on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
You know that even today, 95% of the world's jury trials are held here in America. Juries are one of the ways American society guarantees the rights of citizens on trial. Unless you don't answer your jury summons. Your right to a jury trial is like so many other American rights. It comes with a responsibility. The American justice system is the envy of the world, but it only works when we do our part.
The American Bar Association Commission on the American Jury reminds you, do your jury duty.
Observe a contemporary Kwanzaa holiday at the Missouri Botanical Garden on Wednesday, December 28th from noon to 4. Admission is $7 for adults, $5 for seniors, and free to children under 12. Residents of St. Louis City and County receive a discount. Garden members get in free. For more info on garden events, visit mobot.org or call 314-577-9400. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
It's impossible to accurately describe the horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenage girls unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, this is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Kevin from Dallas, Texas, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm outstanding. Hey, listen, I'm a longtime listener. Of course, I listen on the internet down here and from St. Louis originally. And I'm just listening to your program because I have been considering moving back to St. Louis to. My mom is getting a little older now, and she needs some governing, I guess. And I'm in a quandary here because just listening to your program and listening to all the shenanigans that are still going on after the 8 or 9 years I've been away from there just kind of makes me sad at the thought of even having to come back to St. Louis. Living in a city like Dallas where, of course, it has its problems, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have the shenanigans with the school board and all the other things that are going on, the blatant racist things that are happening there in St. Louis. I've lived all over the country, and I found that St. Louis is one of the most polarized, racist places I've ever lived. And it almost, even though it's home and it'll always be home for me, it almost saddens me at the thought of having to come back and deal with that same old thing. I mean, 7 years, 8 years later, nothing seems to have changed. It only seems to have gotten worse. The governor there is horrible. The mayor there is horrible. The school board is almost or should be non-existent. The same old thing just continues to happen, and I just really want to know, and it's not a criticism, but what are the people of St. Louis doing to make these things different in our community?
I don't know what to say.
I mean, it just seems like time on time again is business as usual.
Well, there are people out here let me back up a little bit. I ran into a friend at a store yesterday, and we were standing there talking about, it's almost as if there's this perfect storm of evil that is here.
Yeah.
We have this horrible governor told everybody, don't support this man, don't support this man. Your lives as you know it will change.
He's an
evil man child.
He's an evil,
heartless, incompetent man child.
Yeah.
He's in office, but there's an awful man child, that boy George, in office at the top of the feeding chain. So what's being done in the city of St. Louis organizationally wise? I was talking to my friend yesterday. I don't have an explanation. I don't have an explanation for organizationally wise the things that are we have an NAACP that throws that joins with a racist mayor to do a Rosa Parks celebration of an hour at the business of the mayor's father that has more to do with people outside of the community of African descent than within the African community of African descent. We have an NAACP that is so profoundly compromised by serving on boards appointed by the mayor's office in the city of St. Louis. Profoundly compromised. We have a NAACP that capitulated and let Roberti take the money from the DSEG program and dismantle what was left of the DSEG program. Organizationally, the NAACP is the worst in the nation.
Yeah.
I would argue the worst in the nation. It really troubles me about
more than anything else about our senior. What the governor is doing to our seniors in the state of Missouri, and what the school board is doing to our youth.
Isn't that something? Top and bottom.
The two most important segments of our community are being attacked, mm-hmm. and I want to know, what are we doing? It's ridiculous. I know that Tavis Smiley and the Covenant with Black America is coming. Once they do their big town hall on CNN, is broadcast on CNN in February. Understand that directly after that, a week after that, the Tavis will bring his forum to St. Louis. And I would urge everyone, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, if you're black in America, if you're Republican, Independent, Democrat, we need a covenant with our own self. Because until we can bring all these bridges, the NAACPs, the Better Family Lives, the all the organizations that are working for causes in St. Louis and the area.
Well, no, in the name of black people. In the name of people of African descent.
Just to quote Tavis, just because he's my skin, folk, don't make him my kin.
That's not Tavis. That is the sister that wrote, "My eyes were watching God." That is not Tavis.
Okay,
that is her quote.
I stand corrected. But I would just really like to see us come together under one umbrella and put our differences aside.
Well, see, I think there's always that, and I got to let you go because I got to get to my other callers.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I think we need to be clear what our differences are, and some people aren't welcome at the table.
Well, I agree with that.
I think that there is often too much of an effort to try to bring the evil into the meeting with you and then expect that anything coming out of the meeting is going to be good. Some people aren't about people of African descent, and they shouldn't be there.
They should
not be there and shouldn't be part of it.
I agree.
And I got to roll. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz. Keep up a good job.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Aura. Good morning.
Is this Liz Brown?
This is Liz Brown.
I am so nervous and I'm trying to tell you about, I mean, retired school teacher called me for. However, the retirement meeting is tonight.
Oh, it's
at
tonight.
At 4:30. Mm. Aura Richardson. The retirement meeting is tonight, and it's at 4:30.
Oro, could you please turn your radio down?
Can you give me just a moment to get it down?
I can give you just a moment to get it down. All right. 454-0400 is our phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is our long distance number. Don't forget, we're broadcast live streamed at WGNU.net. And if you want to check out my website, do that at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ Brown.com. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And also, again, we're streamed at WGNU.net, and we're also streamed at lizbrown.com.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Ora Richardson,
yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm trying to tell you that I'm one of the retired teachers.
Yes, ma'am.
And I listen to you every day. However, the meeting is tonight.
It's tonight. It's tonight at 4:30. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There is one coming up in February, but the one tonight is so urgent.
Oh, my God. I wish I had known. I wish I had known about it from 6 o'clock this morning to let people know that there is a meeting tonight. Aura, did you know about the building of this $2 million?
Not until I heard it on your show on Wednesday. And I've just been sick ever since, trying to call everybody that I knew, trying to let them know about the meeting down there tonight.
It is just outrageous, isn't it?
Yes, it's absolutely ridiculous. Make no sense.
It does not.
I'm so nervous.
That's okay. Don't be nervous. You are doing the right thing. I'm proud of you for getting out there and getting your members together. I hope Jesse Todd is still listening, that the meeting is tonight. Where is the meeting, Aura?
It's at down at number one.
Mercantile?
Mercantile.
Okay.
Yes, suite.
Well, you can just go in the front of the building, and they'll tell you what suite it is. Just go to number one.
Yes, I think it's 2510. Here it is. It's, I'm so nervous.
That's okay.
Suite 2510, number one, U.S. Bank Plaza.
U.S. Bank Plaza, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, U.S. Bank Plaza, and tonight at 4:30.
4:30.
Yes, ma'am. Please, you know what I would love for you to do? I would love for you to give us a call tomorrow about how the meeting turned out. And if you can, if you're up to it.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
I hope somebody else can do that part.
I'll
tell you we'll be there, but I'm
okay.
Just so nervous.
All right, sweetie.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay, take care of yourself, and I'm proud of you. Thank you for that.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me. Oh, I love this one.
Update. Dateline Washington. President Bush took the media to task over the weekend for bringing the secret eavesdropping program to light. He said the disclosures have allowed the enemies of America to learn about information that they should not have, and that has damaged national security while putting citizens at risk. He even went so far as to call the disclosures illegal and improper. The president said the program was used narrowly to intercept international communications of people inside the United States who have been determined to have a clear link to various terrorist organizations. Meanwhile, the New York Times hit back at the president in their Sunday editorial by saying the president has cried wolf so many times on national security issues that his credibility suffers. The Times also said that the country has learned the hard way that his administration can't be relied upon to adhere to the boundaries of law. Meanwhile, a Washington Post editorial yesterday also took the president to task on the spying issue by saying he thinks that he gets a free pass to ignore clearly worded law if he finds it convenient to his agenda on terrorism. And Dateline Washington. The Pentagon says it filled its recruiting quota for November, but it had to accept applicants who made low scores on aptitude tests.
It had set a number for recruits last month at 5,600. It exceeded that mark by 256. The Army Reserve was looking for the for 1,454 recruits. They did exceed that goal by 112. But they had to go down as low as taking people who scored anywhere from a 16 to a 30 on the aptitude tests. That casts some doubt on the quality of the all-volunteer force who have to work with high-tech equipment that they must have a high working knowledge of. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. We're on every Monday nights now from 8 to 10 p.m. On Curran Events, we let both sides of an issue be heard. That way we can learn from each other. That's Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Jim Curran, Curran Events, right here on WGNU.
We're all looking for ways to get more mileage from a gallon of gas. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman with steps you can take to save money by getting the most out of every gallon of gas that you buy. First, keeping your car tuned and in proper working condition can improve gas mileage by up to 40%. Replacing your air filter and keeping tires properly inflated improves fuel efficiency. When you can, avoid idling your car. Running your engine when you're not moving wastes gas and money. Obey the speed limit. Speeding reduces fuel mileage by up to 23%. Your gas mileage decreases rapidly once you get above 60 miles an hour. You have the power to make a difference. By taking these steps, you can save money and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more tips on saving money at the gas pump, please visit our website at www.energy.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
It's impossible to accurately describe the horror that sexual abuse leaves on teenage girls unless you've experienced it yourself. Crying for help, begging for someone to believe you, being rejected perhaps by your own mother. Tuesday morning at 7, we have a powerful interview set with Dr. Patty Furizen. She's just authored a moving book called Invisible Girls that deals with why such abuse happens, how girls deal with it, and how they recover, through the actual words of patients she's worked with. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, this is one segment that absolutely cannot be missed. Dr. Patty Furizen, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. Let me get to some of these car phones. Car phone.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Has anybody been taking a task for 9/11? I mean, this kind of sticks in my craw. You know, it seems like everything that's happened to us happened from this election in 2000 on. I mean, we had no intelligence for 9/11, so they tell us. We have no intelligence that was credible for this Iraq fiasco. You know, I'm under the impression, and this is my belief, that 9/11 couldn't have been anything but an inside job. There's just too many holes in this story. And nobody's investigating. All Bush is giving out is Medal of Freedom. For this thing. This is the greatest crime ever perpetrated on the American people, and nobody's talking about it. Yet everything that we're going through now is flowing from 9/11.
Absolutely.
Every time this coward speaks, he uses 9/11 to justify the law-breaking and the criminality that he's involved in.
Let me let you listen to, like, the first four lines or so of the speech from, I think it was from Saturday, to underscore your point. Thanks for that. Because the fact of the matter is that when he talks, he will mention 9/11. In the first three sentences of his speech, he mentions 9/11 four times. Just check this out.
On September the 11th, 2001, our freedom and way of life came under attack by brutal enemies who killed nearly 3,000 innocent Americans. We're fighting these enemies across the world. Yet in this first war of the 21st century, one of the most critical battlefronts is the home front. And since September the 11th, we've been on the offensive against the terrorists plotting within our borders.
Three.
One of the first actions we took to protect America after our nation was attacked.
There we go. Four.
Was to ask Congress
four times.
To pass the Patriot Act.
Four times. Four times. Four times in two sentences.
Intelligent assessment.
Oh, yeah. And then the inability to say the word intelligent. And I think I need to stop picking on him about that. How can he speak of what he does not know? 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. Another car phone.
Liz Brown.
Follow on the car phone.
My brother is exactly right.
Yes, he is.
You know, I also listen to your news, and I noticed that they're bringing it out now that they're lowering the standards to get people into the military.
That is correct.
I just wanted to let everybody know the standard as of today is whether you can stop a bullet or not. Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. Juanita.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I was calling because of, I just made a call to World Financial Corporation of Florissant, and I asked her what was the credit score allowed to get a loan there, and she told me, she asked what was my zip code. And I said 63115. And she then told me that was out of their lending area. And she said goodbye and hung up on me. So I called back a second time and I speak to the manager. She told me she's the manager, this other person. And they said, the manager said they have a radius of the lending out, who they lend out to, and the city is not, they don't lend to. And I wanted to know.
Wait a minute, they don't loan to anybody in the city?
Yes. So what should I do about this?
I don't know I don't know what redlining laws are like. I don't know if redlining applies to that. I didn't know that you can decide to exclude an entire geographic area of not loaning to. I would have somebody else call and call from a zip code in South St. Louis and see if they lend to them. Okay, is your zip code south or north?
Mine's north.
Okay, try the zip code from South St. Louis and see if they loan to them.
Okay.
Try that and let me know.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Will.
Yes, the book that you were asking about, LeRone Bennett.
LeRone, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the name of the book is called Forced Into Glory.
That's right, Forced Into Glory. That's right.
And I would guarantee that if you read that book, you will come out with a different story about Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. LeRone Bennett and Forced Into Glory. We did that with my book club. I just drew a blank. Forced Into Glory. That is absolutely right.
That's an excellent book.
It's an excellent book. Excellent book. Thank you, Will. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Victor.
Hello. How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. I was just going to tell you, when they televised Bush live from the White House the other day.
What did you say? What did you call it?
Say, not live from the White House, lying from the White House.
Or instead of live from the White House, lie from the White House. 454-0400 is my phone number. My name is Liz Brown. Tomorrow is going to be a very special show. A very special show. We're going to have author Patty Ferverstein. She is the author of Invisible Girls. She will discuss sexual abuse of teenage girls and how to survive the trauma. We're also going to have a very special guest, Dr. Charles Brown, superintendent of the Wellston School District, and Joyce Roberts, chief academic operation officer for the Wellston School District. What's going on with Wellston? We talk a lot about what's going on with the city schools. You don't want to miss this show about Wellston Schools. It will be live. It will be newsmaking. You need to be with us at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning when we're joined by the superintendent from Wellston and the chief academic operations officer, unlike Lynn Spampinato for the city, who quit her job, took a $12,000 pay cut. And her parting words were, no, I don't think a lot of kids are being educated in the St. Louis public schools very well. That was her parting word. You think? How much of that did you contribute to? We're going to be talking to Wellston tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. I'm Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I will be back, same time, same place. It's getting closer and closer to the holiday. Stay strong until then.
Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, buddy.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barr. President Bush is in the middle of a year-end news conference at the White House. The topic of domestic spying without a court order came up. Mr. Bush says, as Commander-in-Chief, I have the constitutional authority to protect our country.
Leaders in the United States Congress have been briefed more than a dozen times on this program, and it has been effective in disrupting the enemy while safeguarding